Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Monday, June 22nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a body has been recovered after a swimmer went missing in the Delaware River on Sunday. The U.S. Coast Guard had been searching for 22-year-old Brian Tenasella, who went missing near the river in Delanco Township, New Jersey. The man was reportedly swimming with friends near a boat ramp in the vicinity of Delaware Ave and Union Avenue when they became separated. The man's friends called 911 after noticing that he did not resurface after being pulled underwater by the tide. Authorities responded just before 2 p.m. 10 agencies, including 5 boats and 2 helicopters, aided in the search that lasted over 5 hours. His body was pulled from the river sometime before 9 o'clock near the spot where he went missing. Medical examiners are working to determine the exact cause of death.
We were talking about the deceptive nature of what you see on the surface as opposed to what you experience when you get in.
Right. Yeah.
And it's terrifying.
And especially in the river, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awful. New Jersey hair salons and barbershops can reopen today under phase 2 of Governor Phil Murphy's coronavirus reopening plan. New safety standards from the state of New Jersey mean things will look different at personal care businesses. Masks are a must. Clients will be spaced out. There will be temperature checks at the door, and no more walk-ins are being permitted. Also permitted to open on Monday in New Jersey, nail salons, spas, tanning salons, hair braiding shops, and tattoo parlors. Business owners say that they are taking state-mandated safety precautions to make sure that they can continue to stay open. They're ensuring that all staff and client pairs maintain at least 6 feet distance between each other unless separated by a physical barrier. Governor Murphy signed an executive order last week allowing higher education and trade and training schools to resume on July 1st with enhanced health and safety protocols. He also announced that shopping malls can reopen later this month. Businesses were also allowed to begin outdoor dining, and that started last Monday. Beginning today, the Philadelphia Parking Authority will once again enforce metered parking regulations across the city. Yeah. Drivers will be required to pay for parking at all meters and kiosks. I know a friend of mine who works in the city, and she's had to work like a few days here and there.
Yeah.
She hasn't fully gone back yet, but she said that was like one of the perks. She's like, I can just park on the street.
It's pretty
wild.
I didn't
get a ticket. I can leave it there. She's like, now I have to pay $40 to park for the day. It's part of a phased approach that began in Center City last Monday. For the past 12 weeks, the PPA focused only on safety violations due to the COVID-19 virus. Customers are encouraged to make contact-free payments through the PPA's mobile payment app, MeterUp. Mobile payments can also be made through MeterUp by calling 1-877-727-5303. Enforcement of residential parking time limits will resume next Monday, June 29th. The parking permit office located at 35 North 8th Street that will reopen today.
That app is so freaking easy. Do you guys use it?
No.
Yeah.
You know, I think I don't go to the city enough to, like, I should get it now.
Yeah.
Is it universal? Because I use one down the shore.
I think they are, or at least everywhere that I've used it in this general area, and I'm talking a wide area.
Right.
It seemed usable. What I like is that wherever you are, it uses your location, your GPS location. So, you know, the different meters will have different numbers on them.
Yeah, you have, like, quadrants that you basically.
Right.
So you're not
and so
parking.
So it knows the quadrant you're in.
Yeah. You're not parking in front of meter 6322. You're parking in quadrant 6322.
So how do they know that you've paid?
Well, the deal is you've put it in and you hope that the people who are going by who are the quote-unquote meter maids or whatever, the enforcement for that, they have a way of assessing through your license plate, logging into the program to
they
see.
They do. They'll put your license plate in because I, last summer, got burned because the one time I parked for my mother and I put her license plate in it, so then her license plate was in the app. And then the next time I went down,
you parked in
I parked my car, but used her license plate, and I ended up getting a ticket.
So the bitch was you'd gone to the trouble of dressing as an old woman and the whole thing.
All of that stuff.
I need you to. So, okay, so your license plate is in the app, so they don't necessarily know what spot you're in, but if they enter your license plate number in, they'll know that you paid.
Mm-hmm.
Ah,
that,
okay,
that's the only way, unless it's just a big scam.
You can use that or the kiosk?
Yeah, I guess there's still some kiosks. You know, which are always a pain. I know. I'm sure you've had your pain in the ass with them occasionally. I've had one with trying to get the credit card in.
And they have to walk down the street, try another one.
Right.
But the best part about the app is, right, oh, I'm only going to be here in an hour. So you put an hour, and then you're you're running late and you're like,
you
oh, you know what?
Back.
You don't have to
yes.
run back.
It just forms you.
You just hop right up on the app.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's definitely, that's got
to
be good.
I go straight to a garage every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
This might actually, or at least give you another option for me. And I agree. I'm always been, F it. If something's going to go wrong.
Yep.
But the app has been pretty usable.
Mm-hmm. All right. In sports this morning.
Sacks are yummy.
Major League Baseball players won't vote on the league's latest proposal to return to the field until they collect new data regarding testing for COVID-19 after several recent outbreaks at training facilities and in Major League cities. A vote could have taken place yesterday, but now will be delayed at least a day or two. All MLB training camps temporarily closed after multiple teams reported positive COVID-19 tests on Friday. The Phillies closed their spring training facility in Clearwater, Florida, after five players and three staff members tested positive for the coronavirus. The Blue Jays closed their site in Dunedin, about 5 miles from the Phillies camp, after a player showed symptoms consistent with the virus. And the San Francisco Giants and Texas Rangers also announced that they shut down their facilities. Yesterday, a noose was found in the garage stall of Bubba Wallace at Talladega Speedway in Lincoln, Alabama, less than 2 weeks after Wallace, who is NASCAR's only black driver, successfully pushed the stock car racing series to ban the Confederate flag at its tracks and facilities. In a statement, NASCAR said, "We are angry and outraged and cannot state strongly enough how seriously we take this heinous act. We have launched an immediate investigation and will do everything we can to identify the person responsible and eliminate them from the sport."
Hope they get these idiots.
Right? I mean, come on. Eagles tight end Dallas Goedert was taken to the hospital after being sucker punched at a South Dakota restaurant on Friday night. The suspect was arrested on Saturday after the incident that occurred at the Zoo Bar in Aberdeen. Police were called to the scene on a report of people busting glasses and having busted heads. Goedert, who went to high school in South Dakota and attended South Dakota State, is entering his third season in the NFL. And according to reports, he's back home and doing fine. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. We welcome everybody back from a weekend, from a Father's Day weekend. So I hope all the dads had a good time. I had an enjoyable day. You guys?
Yeah man.
Excellent.
Great.
Nice.
I can't have kids.
You can't have children. Not anymore. Yeah. Hey, this may not mean a whole lot to you on the listening side of things, but on the visual side, we have the return of Mr. Nick Murphy.
Yay!
He's been gone for a few months as, you know, things have been thin as far as the personnel goes around here, but slowly incorporating safely people back into the fold, and that means Daily Rush videos. More of them will be coming back.
Things have changed while he's gone. The new Nicky Murphy. A couple things were changed. A little Nicky bit of surgery. Murphy. Yeah.
So we're excited about that and more of the family back together. And hopefully that's happening in your world as well. We have a new Word of the Week prize to give away. It is a package of 20 digital movies, including Birds of Prey, Gone in 60 Seconds, Just Mercy, The Rhythm Section, Star Wars Rise of Skywalker.
Wow.
And more. If you'd like the complete list, you can click contest at WMMR.com. But we'll do the letter at the end of the program, makes a word. By Friday, we will give that away to one lucky winner. We have other things that we will have your chance to win through the course of today's radio program. And that's it. That's all I got as far as setting it up for you today, folks. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. And we are going to get to the stupid question later on today. But I got an entertainment report. Things happen over the weekend. I'll tell you about them. We'll be back in just a moment, so make sure you stay with us on this gorgeous start to a work week. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to do the stupid question this morning. We're going to give away a Fandango Now promo code to see Irresistible, written and directed by Jon Stewart and starring Steve Carell and Rose Byrne. So the question, very interesting, and Nick and Casey, you guys specifically, I want to see if you guys can get the answer to this. This is from Marshall Fleming. He sent this to me. What, and this is going to take a little work.
All right.
What are the only two U.S. states besides Alaska and Hawaii that do not have an NFL team or share a border with a state has an NFL team?
That doesn't share a border?
Uh-huh.
All right.
I got a lot of birthdays, so we got some time to work this out.
Work it out.
What are the only two U.S. states besides Alaska and Hawaii that do not have an NFL team or share a border with a state that has an NFL team?
It's a good
team.
One.
It is a good one.
I got it.
215.
I think I got one.
263-WMMR. We'll write it down and figure out the other one. I'm going to go through some birthdays. Like I said, there's a bunch of them. Today is Monday, June 22nd. And we will start with one of the greatest actresses of all time, Meryl Streep.
Yes.
Turned 71 years old today.
Astonishing actress.
Yeah. Yeah, she's fantastic.
A skill set like, you know, you haven't seen in years. I mean, you have to go back to people like Bette Davis and the legendary actresses. I mean, she's unbelievable.
What's some comedy that she's done? I always like taking a look at these.
Death Becomes Her.
Very well-known dramatic actors, and then watch them go into a comedic role. I know she had a small role in Stuck on You, but she played herself.
Meryl Streep?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
oh, She-Devil, the Roseanne Barr movie. She's very funny in that.
There's a movie, it's a romantic comedy, which is, it's complicated, with Steve Martin.
And, another good one, yeah.
Yeah, there's some really funny scenes in that, but she's great in everything she does. Celebrates her 71st birthday today. Lindsay Wagner, who was the Bionic Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Jamie Summer, she is also 71 years old today.
That was her biggest thing. Did she ever go on to anything else?
I don't know. I remember...
She did a couple made-for-TV movies.
That's mainly what I remember, Steve.
I dug that show.
Yeah.
They were a good companion piece. They both, between the $6 million man and the $6 million woman, they had whatever one couldn't do, the other one could do.
Yep. So she's 71. David L. Lander, who played Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley... Andrew Squiggy Squigman.
He was part of that Gary Marshall tribute that they did on ABC.
He is 73. He's been by here before.
Yeah.
So he and
He
and Michael McKean did those characters. They like a college act, and they were, you know, they did improv comedy together, and that's where Gary Marshall became aware of that variations on those characters.
No,
he wasn't Squiggy or something. He was like Bruno or something or Tony or whatever,
right.
They changed it.
So the idea that Bobby Fleckman in the movie Spinal Tap is based on a record rep that we all know named Bobby Silver goes back to David Lander and Michael McKean.
Yeah.
The story is that the Bobby Silver, who we all know, had basically taken them on tour for, you know, I don't know if they were, maybe they were promoting Laverne and Shirley.
Routinely, like, let them stay at her house and things of that nature. So when she was mounting a tour and making sure that everything was, you know, looked after, she'd actually bring people into her home to put them up.
Yep.
And that's where the legend of Bobby Silver.
Yep. And then led to Bobby Fleckman and Spinal Tap. So Squiggy is 73.
Squiggy. Right?
Yeah. Kris Kristofferson is still alive. He's 84 years old today, by the way.
Always like Kris Kristofferson.
Yep. Grizzled, kind of gruff.
So what are some of the... He's written a ton of hits for people.
Me and Bobby McGee.
Yeah, Janis Joplin.
He wrote, and that's the biggest hit that I know of, but
Perfect Strangers theme?
He said if he did the Perfect Strangers theme.
He did not do that.
One guy, let me write this down. Meepos.
He's 84 today. It's also Cyndi Lauper's birthday today.
Cyndi Lauper?
Cyndi Lauper. Cyndi is celebrating her 67th birthday today. What is this?
I thought it was Time After Time, but apparently not.
Maybe what is this?
The hell is this?
Karaoke version of this?
You insult me.
That's her at an event or something, I guess.
This is at the Ripley.
Wow.
In 1983.
Wow, okay. I went down a path of Cyndi Lauper like last year because I was watching various when she was doing We Are the World.
Yeah.
The segment that she did with Huey Lewis and I think it might have been Kim Carnes. that where they rehearsed it. And I was watching the behind the scenes stuff,
right?
And they did that take several times and did different versions of it. She kicked ass.
She can whale. She has an incredible voice and
fantastic,
great songwriter. Yeah. And now she's doing psoriasis commercials.
Yeah, she does. Actually, you're right. She's 67 today. Bruce Campbell from the Evil Dead movies, the Spider-Man movies, and so on.
Legend.
Very funny guy. He is 62.
He'll always have a table at any horror or science fiction convention.
Yeah. And we also have Carson Daly, who turns 47 today.
Who was long called a tool by our show, and then we had him on a couple times. He's pretty
nice,
cool guy. Yeah, he's not bad.
Then you have Dan Brown, the novelist. He brought us a Da Vinci Code, Angels and Demons, The Lost Symbol.
You were totally wrapped up into that stuff.
I loved the Da Vinci Code. It was
the nation was
such an easy read. And then I went back and read Angels and Demons, and I actually liked that a little bit better than Da Vinci
Chapters
Code.
Chapters were like 3 pages long.
They were perfect for the bathroom.
I know, yeah.
They were outstanding.
I remember we did a mystery trip one year, and everybody at the pool was reading the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, really?
Everybody, yeah.
Yeah. So he's 56 today. Todd Rundgren, the Philadelphia native.
Love Todd Rundgren.
Is 72 years old today. Yep. And he's a quirky dude, man.
Super
he's
quirky, he's goofy. A weird guy. You know, if like Emo Phillips became a rock star.
I got to meet him at when Pierre was inducted into the Philadelphia Walk of Fame. Todd Rundgren was there and he spoke and could not have been a nicer guy. I had a picture with him and Jason Fahon. It was a really cool moment.
One of the best concerts I ever saw, Hall & Oates with Todd Rundgren.
Yeah.
And he came out and they were exchanging singing parts on each other's songs.
He's 72. Then you have Stephen Page of Bare Naked Ladies. He is 50 years old today. He's the thinner of the two front guys, right?
And he's out of the band, right?
Oh, then that's the other one.
I thought I forget which one.
Who's the one who is drug addicted?
The larger guy.
Right.
And I've forgotten. I get them mixed up. Stephen Page and the other dude. I don't even remember his name.
I think the other dude is the one who sings the Big Bang Theory theme.
Hang on. Stephen Page is the guy who had the little substance abuse issue and ended up leaving the band.
All right. So who's the other dude?
Ed Robertson.
There we go.
He's still in the band and they still tour, but they're not the same entity they once were.
Okay. No.
Was Bare Naked Ladies? I always thought it was just two guys.
Band. There's four guys in the band all together.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
What?
I just assumed that it was just those two.
No.
And that anybody else was just, you know,
losers.
Hired help.
Yeah. No, they were all well established. In fact, I've got a gold record that I got when I was a music director.
Yeah.
And it's got all their names on there. So they were friends from way back.
Canadian band.
Yep, Canadian band, absolutely. 50 years old today. Donald Faison, the actor, great in Scrubs and Clueless.
Ton of stuff.
Celebrates his 46th birthday today. And then the final one I saw is actress Tracy Pullen, who is wife of Michael J. Fox. They met on Family.
They met on the show. Yeah.
Played his girlfriend, I think.
Remember that Billy Vera song?
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
This moment.
What about it?
That's what they danced to, right?
What they broke up to, right?
It was a theme running throughout the show. Was at this moment by Billy.
Yeah. That was a huge hit.
It sure was.
So she is 60 years old today, and it's also Casey's daughter Avery's birthday.
Really?
I wonder if she's awake. Yeah.
Wake her up.
Wake her up right now.
Your wife has a starter pistol.
My daughter is so excited about her birthday today.
Aww. Yeah, I know.
The end of the
But she's 11 years old.
Oh, my little sweetheart.
What are we listening to?
This is Daddy's Little Girl.
Oh, okay.
I don't know this version, though.
This is the Cyndi Lauper version.
Right.
So she's 11 years old
11.
Today?
11!
Yeah. Nice. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to today's very interesting, stupid question. And it was posed to us by listener Marshall, and he said, what are the only two U.S. states besides Alaska and Hawaii that do not have an NFL team or share a border with a state that has an NFL team? Did you guys write down your answers?
I did. Right. I had questions, though.
Okay.
These are my two.
Nick got it right.
Okay, see, I wasn't sure, and I kind of call no fair a little bit.
I'm gonna go to Rich, and then we'll find out why it's not fair.
Okay.
Hi, Rich. You're on the air. Good morning.
How you doing, fellas?
Good, Rich. What are the two states, please?
I'm pretty sure it's Maine and Montana.
And you are correct, according to Marshall Fleming. Hang on, Rich. We are going to give you a Fandango Now promo code. Excuse me, to see Irresistible. written and directed by John Stewart and starring Steve Carell and Rose Byrne. It's available on demand this Friday. No, it says 6/26. That's this Friday. And it is from Focus Features. So congratulations. All right. What's not fair about that?
Well, it's not. I just didn't know if New England, because New England is a cluster of states.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that to me, man?
No, Sam, bro. It's Monday.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So Maine is part of New England. And I wasn't sure if they were asking because Massachusetts is the state that has, you know, hosts the stadium. So anyway.
Okay. All right, so you thought that New England was one entity.
Yeah.
I get your argument, but state. Massachusetts is the state in which the Patriots play.
Right.
And Maine only borders New Hampshire.
Okay. So that was an interesting one. So thanks, Marshall. We appreciate that. All right, let's get into some of the entertainment stories. Angelina Jolie is opening up about why she made the decision to leave Brad Pitt. So finally, she's been quiet.
I want to hear this.
It's not much. She said, I separated for the well-being of my family.
That's it?
It was the right decision. I continue to focus on their healing. She said, some have taken advantage of my silence and the children see lies about themselves in the media. But I remind them that they know their own truth and their own minds. In fact, they are six very brave, very strong young people. Pitt and Jolie were together since 2004, but they only married in 2014 at their estate in France. And, of course, they shocked fans when they divorced in 2016.
The last thing I wanted to do when Claire and I got married was get married at our estate in France.
No, that's not.
We wanted to keep it a small affair.
Mm-hmm. Jolie previously told Harper's Bazaar magazine how the last few years have been physically, emotionally and mentally turbulent for her.
Well, she went through cancer, you know.
Yes, exactly.
And had some radical surgery.
Yep.
And not in a surfer kind of radical. And then it was, she's doing great.
Did she actually have cancer or did she just get the double mastectomy?
You know, Casey, I don't remember. I know that it killed her mother. So that was part of the deal. And I think she might have taken that preemptive measure of getting, perhaps she had it in one breast and got both. I don't know what the story was, but it was.
No, it was preventative. It was a preventative double mastectomy. And she had an 87% risk of developing breast cancer, but she did not have it.
Okay. She continued by saying, adoption and orphanage are positive words in our home. With my adopted children, I can't speak of pregnancy, but I speak with much detail and love about the journey to find them. And what it was like to look in their eyes for the first time. After a reportedly rough few years, Pitt and Jolie are co-parenting in peace now.
That's nice.
And she is reportedly relieved and impressed that Brad has stopped drinking. So she's happy about that. James Vanderbeek is opening up about his wife Kimberly's devastating miscarriage 17 weeks into her pregnancy. James wrote on social media that after suffering a brutal, very public miscarriage last November, they learned that Kimberly was pregnant again. He said, this time we kept the news to ourselves, adding that last weekend, once again, the soul we'd been excited to welcome into the world had lessons for our family that did not include joining us in a living physical body. He said that they rushed Kimberly for another harrowing night of blood transfusions. He added that while trying to be by his wife's side, something kept running through my head again and again, which I now feel compelled to share. We've got to take better care of each other. He said, there are no words to ease that pain, to make the process hurt less, or to solve it quickly. But the way out of it starts with an open, broken-hearted contemplation of this question. How can we take better care of each other? He concluded by letting all the families who have gone through this know that they are not alone. By the way, they have five kids, as it is. So they're 9, 8, 6, 4, and 1. So sad news from that group. Now, better news on the other side. Heather Locklear is engaged.
Aww.
Engaged to her, quote, favorite person.
Can we guess? Yeah. Tom Sizemore.
Yes.
How did you know? How could it not work out well?
No. The actress and her longtime boyfriend, former motocross racer Chris Heiser.
Love you so much.
Got engaged in April.
Yeah.
Locklear and Heiser, by the way, are high school sweethearts.
We met in high school.
Who rekindled their romance years ago.
We kindled it.
In 2017, Locklear shared a picture with Heiser writing, my favorite person on earth 40 years later.
Statistically, how often do you think a rekindling of a high school romance works out? And how many times does it just go asunder?
That's a good question.
Because are the things that make you what? Or do you really know what you want in life in high school? Or
yeah, but you've grown and, you know, I mean, like I saw a couple this weekend who both have or are going through divorce. And these two are getting back together for the first time in 30 years or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
I like that. So this will be the third marriage for Heather. She was married to Tommy Lee from 1986 to 1993. And then Richie Sambora from 1994 to 2007.
She's doing much, much better from what the recent reports say. So she's kind of, I guess, Casey, in like a 12-step, you know, making amends.
I hope so.
And going around and doing the deal. It looks good. Yeah.
Locklear and Sambora share daughter Ava Elizabeth Sambora, who's 22. She celebrated her engagement following her one-year sobriety anniversary, saying hugs will come later, 1 year sober today. She had captioned a Maya Angelou quote on Instagram back in April. In 2019, she pleaded no contest to 8 misdemeanor charges of battery and resisting officers stemming from 2 confrontations with first responders at her California home in February and June of 2018. So hopefully she's gotten it all together because it was looking rough there for a while, man.
The girl who played her in The Dirt, what looked was pretty good casting. You remember her?
Yeah. But I don't know who she was.
I've never seen her before.
Yeah, that was well done. All right, Ansel Elgort, the actor, has spoken out on social media after being accused of sexual assault. A Twitter user who goes by the name of Gabby wrote to her followers that the 26-year-old actor, quote, sexually assaulted me when I was 17. I had DM'd him on when it was 2 days before my 17th birthday, and I got his private Snapchat. I didn't think he'd ever see my DM. I was just a kid and was a fan of his. Her profile is set to private now. She goes into pretty vivid detail about it, and it's kind of vague.
I thought the same thing, Preston. I think this needs to be examined a little bit more.
So Elgort wrote on Instagram, I was distressed to see the social media posts about me that have been circulating the past 24 hours. I cannot claim to understand Gabby's feelings, but her depiction of events is simply not what happened. He said, I have never and never would assault anyone. What is true is that in New York in 2014, when I was 20, Gabby and I had a brief, legal and entirely consensual relationship. Unfortunately, I did not handle the breakup well. He said he stopped responding to her, which is an immature and cruel thing to do to someone, and that he knows this belated apology does not absolve me or my unacceptable behavior when I disappeared. He said, as I look back at my attitude, I'm disgusted and deeply ashamed of the way I acted. I'm truly sorry. I know I must continue to reflect, learn, and work to grow in empathy. So that is how he responded to that. Comedian D.L. Hewley announced that he has tested positive for COVID-19 after collapsing on stage during a performance in Nashville. I know we have audio of this. The stand-up comedian, who's 57, lost consciousness while he was performing at the Zany's Comedy Nightclub on Friday night. And he was hospitalized. On Saturday, he posted a video on Twitter in which he said he was treated for exhaustion and dehydration afterward. What is the clip that we have?
The clip is of him is finding out after the fact that, or while he was in the hospital, that he had COVID-19.
Here we go. Yeah.
When I came, I was being treated for extreme exhaustion and dehydration, but it turns out I also tested positive for COVID-19, which blew me away. I was what they call asymptomatic. I didn't have any symptoms that, you know, other classic symptoms. Apparently, I just lost consciousness. So, in addition to all the other stuff you have to look out for, if your ass pass out in the middle of a show on stage, you probably need to get tested.
And he also, it's funny because he also says, he goes, and thanks you to all my friends who said such horrible things about me. So apparently they've been really ribbing the crap out of him.
He plans to quarantine in his Nashville hotel room for 14 days. The remaining 2 nights of his 4-night engagement at Zany's, of course, were canceled. He said he still hasn't exhibited any of the typical symptoms associated with coronavirus, including a shortness of breath and fever. However, fatigue is listed by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention as among symptoms of the disease. So he's, passed out right on stage. Wow. Okay, Ashley Benson brought a +1 to her sister Shailene Benson's wedding to Adam Swerdlow, The wedding went down in Laguna Beach, California on Thursday. Predictably, fans have questions.
Oh, I have questions.
Yeah.
Who are they?
I know. I do, too. There's a name I recognize in this story, though.
Swerdlow?
So, no, it's not Swerdlow.
Isn't that a sexual act?
I don't know who Swerdlow is.
Oh, that's a Swirly.
Now, Benson brought G-Eazy with her.
Oh, now I know G-Eazy.
Adding, is it G-Eazy or Jeezy or Geezy?
Never heard of it.
I don't know. Adding fuel to the romance.
I know he brings good things to life.
Rumors that, wait a minute.
That's G, yeah.
So adding fuel to the romance rumors that have been swirling around them for months.
Swirling.
Thick. The pair appeared to enjoy themselves, judging from the bride's Instagram stories. And this comes a few months after Benson split from Cara Delevingne.
Now we're talking.
A name we know.
And we know Cara Delevingne has been in the news because of the supposed threesome with Elon Musk and Amber Heard.
Which he denied.
Which he denies. And I don't know why anyone would deny that.
Benson and G-Eazy were first linked in April when they were spotted picking up takeout in L.A. and they collaborated on a cover of Radiohead's Creep. When fans lashed out at Benson, Delevingne defended her, saying it's more important now than ever to spread love, not hate.
Spread love.
To everyone hating on Ashley Benson, please stop. You don't know the truth. Only her and I do, and that's exactly how it should be.
Beautiful.
Isn't it? Alan Metter, the director for the 1980s pop culture films Girls Just Want to Have Fun and Back to School, passed away on June 7th, according to the New York Film Academy, where he taught. Details of the cause and location were not provided. His early days saw him directing music videos for George Harrison and Olivia Newton-John, but he got his break with a directing job on Girls Just Want to Have Fun, starring Jessica Parker. I don't remember that movie.
It's not that good. Yeah. So it's Jessica Parker, I believe, and is Helen Hunt in that as well?
I don't know. Nick is pulling up the IMDb credits.
Shannon Doherty, Sarah Jessica Parker, Helen Hunt. Yeah, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you guys remember Biff Yeager.
Biff Yeager. Oh, my God. Chuck Yeager's ne'er-do-well brother. What did you do? Well, I broke the sound barrier. I was in Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Literally, the lead, the top name on there is Biff Yeager.
What did you do? I flew faster than any man has ever flown. What did you do? I was in Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
I think it might have been in order of appearance. I think that's why he's on the top.
Yeah.
Biff Yeager.
He was in Repo Man, Batman Returns, Sid and Nancy, Edward Scissorhands, and, of course, Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Detective in Sid and Nancy.
Yeah. But he's still alive, Biff.
Yeah. Biff's okay.
Yeah, Biff's good.
But Alan Metter is dead. And he also, from there, he directed Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Now, that's a solid movie.
I love that movie.
Yes.
And you know what? Another one that was kind of goofy fun is Moving with Richard Pryor.
I don't know why Moving was dismissed. I think it's a lot of fun. And it actually does really kind of explore the nightmare of moving.
Yeah. Yep. Metter retired in the early 2000s and moved to Florida, so he has passed away, unfortunately. Kim Kardashian, thought we were going to get out of this, didn't you?
Yeah, man.
Is seeing Tristan Thompson in a new light a year after he and Khloe Kardashian split following his cheating scandal with their sister Kylie Jenner's former pal Jordan Woods.
There's much more to you than I originally thought.
In a bonus season 18 clip.
Oh, a bonus clip.
Yeah. Kardashian told Scott Disick of her dinner with Thompson, and I quote, "It was good. He's like, honestly, so nice." He made mistakes, but I feel like he's trying really hard.
And she's talking to Scott Disick, who has two breadsticks under his front lip.
By the way,
are you even listening?
The word "like" was used twice in here, and one of them was actually used properly.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
He made mistakes, but I feel like he's trying really hard. That's a proper use of
it. It would actually be "I feel as if."
Right.
She screwed that up, too, but we'll accept that one.
Kate Middleton shared adorable family shots ahead of her husband Prince William's 38th birthday on Sunday. Prince George, who is 6, and Princess Charlotte, who is 5, are grinning ear to ear as William is sitting down and holding Prince Louis, who is 1.
Let me tell you, as their butler, their little George, the little scamps.
Yeah.
They must get away with murder.
Oh, I would imagine so. Claire Crawley is going to start filming her season of Bachelorette amid the coronavirus crisis, and not surprisingly, this will be the ABC juggernaut's wackiest season yet, thanks to the pandemic.
Wacky.
I know. Rob Mills recently told On Air with Ryan Seacrest, "We're going to be in one location, and everyone will be tested the week before. Everyone who comes back negative, we shoot inside the bubble, basically."
Yeah,
they're going to shoot them.
Yeah, they're going to do that. They're going to execute them. And honestly, as someone who's kind of annoyed by the show a lot, I support this.
The show usually focuses on travel to exotic locales and visits to contestants' hometowns. Mills said, maybe there's some travel. Maybe it's just domestic. Maybe it's by bus. We'll see.
Maybe by bus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Nick, they're going to be down at the Greyhound station.
Yeah.
Waiting to go into Scranton.
Well, that's exciting.
So they've been having this show that's sort of a look back where they, it's basically clip shows every week. And the dates that they go on, I have to imagine that's one of the biggest draws to this thing.
Yeah.
One of the draws, the couple goes, they're flying around this skyline of New York and they land on some bell, whatever the hell it is. It's the most incredible date you could possibly imagine. And that's obviously the draw. Somehow taking a bus ride to Dubuque, I don't think is going to be as exciting.
Well, we'll see.
Let's take the train to Harrisburg.
We'll see what they do with it. So that is, they said, if things aren't that safe, we'll shoot it in the same way where everybody is safe, they're tested, they're quarantined.
I want to take you to Digger World.
And you can have...
What's that other place you talked about? That other amusement park?
Dutch Wonderland?
No, it was another one. Had like a...
Had
a goofy name to it.
Storybook Land?
Yeah, it was
some Giggleberry.
Giggleberry.
Fair.
We're going to Giggleberry Fair.
Giggleberry Fair. they got the guns you can shoot with the little softballs. Yeah, exactly.
And each one of these Nerfs is a little bit of my heart at Giggleberry Land.
So, they said if things aren't that safe, we will shoot it the same way where everybody's safe, they're tested, or quarantined. And
look at those animatronic animals singing, and the pizza's pretty good here, too. And then we'll go in the money booth.
And then you can have kissing and arguing and everything
and
else.
Pudding.
And what?
And pudding.
And pudding.
All right.
Pudding pizza.
I think they make that.
They make Arnold's.
At Arnold's, you're right.
Yeah, good card place. And let me tell you, it's good.
Pudding pizza. Kissing and arguing and putting pizza.
Let's see how quickly they fall in love when those are the dates.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dates the rest of us go on.
Yep. The internet can't seem to give up this iconic meme. On Wednesday, singer Rick Astley casually posted on a resurfaced early career photo for fans to enjoy on Reddit. He said, I found a few funny memories during lockdown. This is from my first tour in 1989, backstage in Vegas, he wrote. But one clever commenter turned the harmless post into a chance to prank the artist. He said, this person posted, I think I might cry. It's actually you. I met you at a backstage event when I was 12. Seriously, a big fan. I've seen you in concert 5 times. And the prankster included a hyperlink in their comment, which directly went to the music video for Never Gonna Give You Up, and Rick fell for it.
He Rickrolled.
And he
himself.
Got rolled.
Yeah.
Astley simply left a clapping emoji applauding the fan for getting him on that
one. So last week, a piece of audio came up of him singing a Foo Fighters cover. I don't know if we had that. If you wanted to hear that here quickly. Yeah,
go ahead, guys.
Sometimes you just have to find a song that's going to lift your spirits and put you in another place. And I've been doing that a lot recently with music. And one of the bands I always go to, believe it or not, is Foo Fighters. So here we go.
Fighters.
Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters.
It's my version of a song of theirs called Everlong.
That's cool.
It's not bad.
A little less chorus on his voice, I think, would be good. But, right. Yeah, he's got a strong vocal, presence. He always has.
The chorus thing has always been a part of him, is his act, though, right? He's like, never going to give you up. He's got the chorus on that as well, doesn't he?
I'm not sure. So, anyhow, he got rolled. Jimmy Kimmel is taking a break from Jimmy Kimmel Live. He announced this last week in the Thursday episode would be the last new show for the summer.
That is a long break.
Yeah, he said he's taking off summer to hang with his family. He said, I've been doing this job for almost 18 years. I've done 3,130 shows, and there's nothing wrong. My family is healthy. I'm healthy. I just need a couple of months off.
I wonder if they can start. So they're starting to, go back to getting people back into studios. They're trying to figure out how to do that. And I assume that the late night shows can start to do some audience as they start to space out and do that, you know, reemergence back into regular scheduling. I wonder if who will be the first to actually have an audience back in their show, the late night guys.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Probably depends on this, their location, too, where they film. I was hanging out with my girlfriend's 90-year-old grandmother this weekend, and unfortunately, she's mostly deaf. But she never misses an episode of Jimmy Kimmel. She is absolutely in love with Jimmy Kimmel, and they share a birthday. And her one birthday wish is to have Jimmy Kimmel wish her a happy birthday.
Anyway, has she tried to reach out?
We know some people who know Jimmy, and so I'm going to try through, like, maybe Todd Glass or something like that. But it was so adorable. I had no idea about this about her.
Does he do cameos?
That's a good question.
That might be worth bucking up if he does.
Yeah, for sure.
The top of the tops don't do cameo.
Really?
Yeah, because I was looking
into
it.
He's right. Not like Jeremy Piven, for example. You talked about Cameo does now this extended thing where you get 10-minute conversation with him.
Yeah.
Jeremy Piven was up for $15,000 for a 10-minute thing. Right. I got Kevin Sorbo. My wife has always loved Kevin Sorbo, so I got like a couple of 2-minute thing for her on Cameo.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anybody of that tier.
Yeah, I was looking into cameos for my daughter's birthday today and, you know, some of her favorite shows on, like, Disney Channel.
Anybody available?
Dove Cameron's not going to do it. Like, she's too big. So I got to get, like, the third player from, like, Camp Tiki Waka, you know?
Yeah, and that's not going to do.
Yeah. I was looking for Debbie Ryan because she likes Hey Jesse. And
yeah, she doesn't do them?
No.
Okay. All right, well, anyhow, maybe someday, Jimmy. And your girlfriend's grandmother.
I think Todd Glass can probably broker that. And it's a cute story. It's a 90-year-old who's a big fan of Jimmy Kimmel.
It's not until November 13th or something like that, so we have some time.
Yeah.
Okay. One last thing. Film Constellation has boarded sales for a featured documentary from Christopher Nealis. It's called Girls Can't Surf. And I bring this up. I personally love surfing documentaries. They're excellent.
They're
just the best. Set in the 1980s in the world of pro surfing, it follows the story of female surfers like Jody Cooper, Frida Zamba, Pauline Mensgar, Lisa Anderson, and Pam Burridge, who took on the macho culture in a bid for equality. So it was kind of groundbreaking at the time. So according to a statement, it says now a billion-dollar global sport that is spread to all shores of the world, it is time to shine a light on the unique prowess and challenges these extraordinary women overcame and still face today. We're excited to be a part of this story's journey, working with such energetic talent on such an affecting, relevant, and necessary conversation about equality within the sporting world.
Press, there are a few documentaries that are available now on Netflix that are awesome. If you like surfing documentaries, these are like the giant, the coast of like Portugal.
Riding Giants. Have you seen that one?
That's been
around for a while.
This is like newer. And then there's another one that I just watched on Amazon Prime where these guys not only do surfing, but they're wingsuit guys as well as like these guys that get dropped off on these mountaintops in
snowboard
like,
and stuff.
The wingsuit videos I could watch all day long. They're insane, they're amazing.
The first one they do is, you know, the snowboarder or skier, and then they go into wingsuit, and then they go into surfing, but...
What's that one about the Giants in Portugal? I saw the trailer for it last night, but I don't remember what it's called.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
What is this one, Nick? Momentum Generation.
That's another one.
That's not it.
No, that was also on HBO a few years ago. But, Casey, I saw that trailer last night, and those waves, they talk about how the fact that they always thought the biggest waves were going to be in the Pacific, and those waves crashing on the cliffs in Portugal, they're like skyscrapers.
Yeah.
Wow.
And people are surfing them.
Can you... By the way, if you've ever been up just even body surfing on a large wave or a crashing wave, can you imagine being on something that literally the size of a moving skyscraper?
Mm-hmm.
Forget it.
No way.
And now it's changed so much with the tow-in surfing that used to be able to, you know, they could look at stuff like that and just, no, that's impossible. You can't get out there. You can't be in that. And now they can ride these monstrosities. The biggest surf in the world. They can get out and try and ride it. It's insane. All right, we're going to roll clips. After her drink is spiked, the woman tries to puzzle pieces together from the night before in I May Destroy You. Here, creator and star Michaela Cole shares a message to viewers who have a similar tragic experience.
It's going to be dark sometimes, and sometimes it's going to be light, but... You'll come out at the end. Arabella, Kwame, Terry, I'm mapping how they find their way out. So maybe that will inspire something in your own life, perhaps.
Yeah!
A new episode of I May Destroy You premieres tonight at 9. That's on HBO. Here's the next clip. Politician is a coming-of-age series about a student who aspires to eventually become president of the United States. In this clip, star Ben Platt compares his high school experiences to what is depicted on the show.
I went to a super intense prep school in Los Angeles that's called Harvard Westlake. That's like super academic and very competitive. So there was like seeds of the experience were similar, and a lot of the ambition is similar. Except for me, it was a lot more in like sports and in like the arts, because it was a lot of children of Hollywood go there, like a lot of entertainment families. So like everyone takes the shows and the group, the, like improv groups and the scene studies and all that very seriously.
I don't give a f-.
I like that guy. Yeah, he's a good actor. The Politician is streaming now on Netflix. And there you go. That's what I got in entertainment for you.
That's a good way to start a Monday.
Bunch of stuff there. All right, we will take a break. Don't forget, today is Free Music Monday. So in music news later on this morning, we're going to have a chance to get a digital download of the Self-Made Man new album from Larkin Poe. So that's coming up, as well as some other stuff. So stay with us.
Up with Preston and Steve, spend your work day with Pierre and Jackson, your evenings with Jackie and Brent, and weekends annoying the neighbors by cranking us up to 11. But why stop there?
Anybody know what she's talking about?
Get your hands on some awesome merch at MMR's Rock Shop now. Clothes, hats, mugs, clocks, puzzles, baby and kids stuff, even a Pierre bobblehead, and more. They make great gifts, too. So get shopping at WMMR.com now. All the merch that rocks.
Over the weekend, some video surfaced, some pretty shocking video of Dallas Goedert from the Eagles getting sucker punched and knocked out cold. It happened in South Dakota, which is where he's from. He's at a bar. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. And it's a scuffle of some type. And you can see the video. Somebody comes out of nowhere and he's not even looking in that direction. Bang.
Mm.
And he goes down. Bell rung out cold and just lays there cold.
And the guy's a big guy, but it doesn't matter. If you're not prepared for it and you get a full force punch from someone, you're going to go down.
Even if you are prepared for it and they get you in that spot.
The button.
The button, as they call it. Yeah. I didn't realize it was 1 o'clock in the morning.
Do we know everything surrounding this? Because I'm trying to.
I got the whole story right here.
Yeah, I would love to hear.
We don't know much. So police were called to the scene around 1 a.m. on Saturday after receiving reports of people who were, quote, busting glasses and have busted heads. And then Goddard declined to give a statement as of early Sunday evening. The Brown County Sheriff's Office said on Sunday that it did not have publicly available information about a suspect taken into custody.
I was wondering if anything.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay. And that's what I thought. The last time I looked, that's all the information was available. So
there's a bar brawl.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the only thing going on in that video. There are people scuffling.
Yeah.
And then then he gets cold cocked and boom, he's out cold. So when you start, when you have people that are pushing and shoving and all that stuff. It can happen, or somebody could be a real dick and come over and punch somebody in the face just to really take it to the next level.
And you see in fights like this, there are peripheral people who are waiting for their moment to just come in and sucker punch someone.
Yeah.
I was wondering if any of this was predicated on his status as an NFL player or an Eagle, or if that ever came up, or if anybody even knew that was who he was.
I mean, listen, sometimes you have a target on you just because of who you are, right? You know, like Belaris one time got peed on at a bar.
Right.
Not because he was doing anything wrong. He's just the weather guy, and somebody got dared to pee on his leg.
Yep, and they said, "Looks like rain, John."
Yeah,
peed on his leg. It's terrible.
It's only
terrible.
No, but only John.
Yeah,
but he'd probably take that over a sucker punch.
I know. Honestly, yeah. I would. So I don't know any of the details surrounding any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I just hate seeing it, though. I can't stand it. I can't stand seeing it. And then I can't stand seeing the comments that glorify it.
Why would you read the comments? You know, people are lunatics. Yeah.
Well, I just want to. Well, so sometimes, Steve, I read the comments so I can actually get context, right?
Yeah.
So,
When
I read Adam Schefter, writing about it, and he's, an NFL expert, I'm hoping to maybe read like, oh, here's what happened.
Right.
He was pushing this guy away because that guy was like being abusive to his girlfriend or who knows. And then But, you know, what I end up seeing are people that glorify, you know, this type of behavior. And well, I can't, the bottom line is somebody can get killed here.
And they have, oh, yeah. We've had stories, Preston, you've had tons of stories in the Bizarre File of just a simple, you know, just, okay, boom, and somebody goes down and their head hits the sidewalk or something.
Happened
and they
at
are
Citizen
dead.
Citizens Bank Park a few years ago. You remember the guy was killed from a punch, you know, fell, hit the ground, boom. It can happen, you know. That's why brawling, fighting, stuff like that, you know, some people pawn it off as horseplay and so on, but you can die in an instant without realizing. No, never. I've never been cold cocked. No. You guys ever had one where you didn't?
I have.
You were looking the other way?
I didn't go down.
No, but I mean, you were looking the other way and somebody hit you?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yes, in fact, a guy attacked me. This is the same guy who attacked me with a straight razor.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was...
What?
A box cutter, I should say. It was in the hallway behind Beadle and Bookseller in the Bayshore Mall. And he came out and he punched me with one hand as I was picking something up. And then swung at me, and it was clear he was on something. I remember I told you guys.
Oh, man.
He had sort of a history of this. I said, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit you. I'm going to hit you if you keep coming at me.
Yeah.
And he had the box cutter, and then he swung the box cutter, and I punched him in the face, and he went down.
Was he trying to rob you?
Nick, he freaked out. And I remember my feeling after that. I felt so bad because I picked him up. I cleaned him up. And I called. I knew his dad had been dealing with this issue.
Work there?
He did.
Okay.
And he was not. And he was not in his right mind. And he just flipped that day. It could have ended a lot worse had he have led with the box cutter.
Yeah.
But it's just everything. You remember it? Watching this video, it should make you sick to your stomach.
I've never been sucker punched. I have had my bell rung before though.
Yeah.
And that's
while training.
Oof. A little bit. Yeah. Never fully knocked out. But the times that I got knocked out were like playing football as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Helmet to helmet contact. I mean, out.
I got a baseball bat. You know how you're supposed to. You know where you swing your bat in practice on deck when you're waiting?
Yeah.
Well, this particular player thought it'd be good to do it about 10 yards away from that. Bank right into my head.
Oh, whoa, like, yeah. Boom. That happened a couple of years ago in my son's league.
It happened what?
A couple of years ago in my son's league, right by the batting cage, this kid was just doing practice swings, and another kid walked up behind him, and he got hit, and, I mean, just boom.
Case.
What do you call it? Stitches, blood flying everywhere.
I didn't have that, but I had, a melon on my head for a couple days. The way it rose up, I thought, okay, I better write a will because I'm not going to survive this.
It was so scary because I just heard a kid screaming, right? And, when you hear kids screaming, it's like horseplay. From my son's class, I hear kids scream at the top of their lungs.
Oh my God.
For no reason whatsoever.
Like bloody murder. Yeah. My kids went to that screaming phase. It drove Rochelle insane.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
We think you're dying down there. And then after a while, you become numb to it.
And that's what it was. And then all of a sudden you hear, somebody call 911. And so then you're, okay, well, this is serious now. This isn't just kids horsing around.
The other time I got my bell rung was on a motorcycle accident that I had, dirt bike.
Mm-hmm.
Was going up this ramp and was, you know, doing a jump. And instead of going up and then landing on my tires, I continued rotating backwards all the way backwards. And I fell off and then I don't remember anything.
That was impressive, wasn't it, ladies and gentlemen?
I was trying to do it. I did a backflip.
Right.
And oops. Yeah.
So, what,
so I had a concussion from that. That sucked.
With a concussion, at least, of the two, you could have, you know, a nut injury or a concussion. And obviously, a concussion has far more ramifications over the long term.
Yeah, and long-lasting effects.
When it's happening, I think you probably end up, when it's, if you were to come down and you're nuts, you're going to feel immediate pain. You know, not that you want to make a decision, but they're both horrific. When you get a concussion and when you hit your head, did you immediately feel pain? You kind of black out, right?
I was out cold, but after that, severe headache, nausea, puking all over the place. It had a lingering, crappy effect.
How long?
Oh, the rest of that day.
Okay, and they tell you not to go
go let to sleep. Yeah, right. I understand. Yeah.
So when Goddard went down, it looked like in the video he was out cold for a while, and I never saw him get up. Right? The video kind of cuts off.
They took him to the hospital. That's how bad it was.
Right.
I never saw at the end of the video him getting up either.
I don't know how long he was down for.
Me neither. It looked like he was dead.
Well,
the way that he got knocked out and the way that he was on the floor, Dallas Goedert looked like he was just completely out of it.
So it's a twofold thing. It's the initial punch, the being cold cocked, but really the ramifications of your head bouncing off the floor.
Would you say that there were two hits, Steve?
Two hits.
Yeah.
Me hitting you.
You're hitting the ground.
You're hitting the floor.
But it didn't, him going down to the ground, it wasn't a straight back one, kind of like
back
off to
the left.
He definitely hit his head on the way down, but it didn't look like it was as bad as it maybe could have been.
It's wild when somebody receive the knockout blow because your system shuts off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like a stumbling down to the ground, it's bang out.
And what is so medically, I assume it's the twisting of the head.
I think so. We were asking Marissa to find this clip that she's going to send over from Million Dollar Baby where Morgan Freeman's character kind of explains it. But I don't know how spot on that is. But
yeah, I don't know medically the reason why it happens. But I watched the boxing match a few years back where the dude was stuck in the corner. And he was out cold. And the corner basically was holding him up. And he, after being knocked out cold, probably got hit like five more times in the face because
did the corner pick him up and like move his arms?
Yeah. He was like
he's out,
Bernie's.
Yeah, if you're a fighter and you're trained to go until the ref says stop, you know, but you can kill somebody doing that. But boxers have absolutely died, you know. It happens.
There's that shot, and I forget what fight it was, Preston. It's just a clean, legal shot. Knockout punch, and the guy died. Died within seconds.
Harsh, man. Let me see here. We're going to go next to... I'm going to go to some calls here. I have John who's on the line. Hey, John, good morning.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, John?
Listen, my little brother Richard's fine. My little brother Richard was around 30. He was coming out of a beverage package supply. You know, he wasn't getting drinks. He was getting a soda to just get himself ready to drive. They suckered him and took his wallet. He's fine. But I just started crying, thinking about this is the kind of guy, my little brother Richard, and he's not a little guy. He would have done anything for them people. They took his wallet, you know?
And they punched him right in the face.
Somehow they got him just hit. I thought about it, and then I went to tears. Obviously, this is a subject that gets a little more emotional just by the fact that I can't be sitting right next to him now recollecting other happy memories. But when you brought that up, I just was listening like I always listen, as you do a wonderful job of making this entertaining, thoughtful things you bring up. But yes, he's fine now, but he's had other issues over the years. And this is the kind of guy, he wanted to be a doctor when he was a little boy, didn't do that. But
so John, the injury that was incurred, you think, from the sucker punch has affected him throughout his life and has kept him from doing certain things?
I think what matters to me to tell you, by the way, Preston, Steve, rather, is this. Yes, there's probably things that included that type of scenario you described. No, it's not his personal physical well-being now. It's what they did. This is the type of person they did it to. The hurt they did to him was so unnecessary.
Right.
If they had asked my brother Richard, hey, I need $100.
I got you. Yeah, I understand. He's a very giving guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that sucked that happened to him. Did anybody ever get arrested for that?
I'm sure somebody did some stuff like that. I'm not going to be able to help you. But I thank you for asking how well he is now and how well you've done. Just bringing that memory into perspective for me right now.
All right, John. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. Take care. All right. So here's that clip from The Million Dollar Baby from the movie where he explains what physically happens when you get knocked out.
The body knows what fighters don't. How to protect itself. A neck can only twist so far. Twist it just a hair more. And the body says, hey, I'll take it from here, because you obviously don't know what you're doing.
Beautiful. You wish you did that?
Yeah.
Wow. Sugar Ray would do that. Just got sugar.
Lie down now. Rest. And we'll talk about this when you regain your senses. It's called the knockout mechanism.
I'm sorry, were you talking to me all this time? I'm sorry, I wasn't paying.
Were you talking to me all this time?
Let me see here. I'm going to go to Jason. Hey, Jason, good morning.
Gadzooks,
what's up, man?
Well, I train in Krav Maga in Cherry Hill, the same place that good old Rick Williams does. And we were sparring once, and that man, his box, he's got a boxing background, and he came out while we were sparring, and he lost a little control, and he hit me with a right hook on the button. I remember, like, leaning backwards, Matrix style, looking at the light in the ceiling, and luckily I shook it off before I went down, and all I heard was come out of Rick's mouth through his mouth guard was, sorry.
He's got the mouthpiece in.
That man, he hits like a step to bust.
I've sparred with Rick a few times. Yeah, definitely. He's got
some weight behind him.
He's a hitter, no, most definitely. He's also got a really deep voice.
Would you take a little comfort in that? Okay.
What if you woke up and he was spooning? Rick is so caring, he'd be spooning you.
He is. Let me go to Lou. Hey, Lou.
Who's Lou?
Of course.
Is this Lou?
Yeah, it's Lou.
Who's Lou?
What's up, Lou?
How you doing, Preston?
Good, buddy. What's your story, man?
All right, listen. One day I was working. I was down in Ocala, Florida, and it was a place called O'Malley's in the Alley. And they had a boxing ring right in the middle of the place. And anybody could sign up, and they'll put you up at your weight class.
Oh, my God.
Well, let me tell you, I was about 180. They put me up, and I was 40 years old. They put me up against this guy, 175, not an inch of fat on him. Yeah. And I'm looking, I'm like, all right, by the time we got in the ring, it was midnight. And I had a couple of beers. So I used to box as a kid, so no problem. First round comes, no big deal. Second round, my headgear gets moved. So I go to move it. Well, he sees that opening. I woke up on the ground.
I went
back into high school. My brain went like right back into high school.
Yeah. So your headgear gets twisted. It's covering up your eyes. You can't see anything. You got to move it. Bang.
I go down. Oh. Here's the funny part. I go home and go. Of course, I don't say nothing to my wife.
Yeah.
So I'm getting out of the shower and she starts yelling. I said, "What?" She goes, "You got a bruise the size of a melon on your back from hitting the mat. What the hell did you do?" I'm sorry. And I said, I told her the story. She said, "You're nuts." She goes, she yelled at me, "You're stupid. You're 40. You could have got killed." It was all in fun.
And Lou, what is this bar that has a boxing ring in the middle of it where the drinkers can get signed up for a round or two?
It's called O'Malley's in the Alley in Ocala.
Well, let me ask you. So I assume they had to be using, were they using regulation gloves? They had to be oversized gloves. They were?
Not oversized. Well, we had regular 16-ounce gloves.
All right.
And you had to wear headgear, and you had to sign a thing. The guy came up to me.
I signed a thing.
The guy came up to me and gave me a trophy. He said, "You know something? You're 40 years old. These are kids." He goes, "These guys do it every week." He said, "Here, any 40-year-old getting a ring with me."
Yeah, they're just waiting for some 40-year-old guy to come in just so they can knock you out.
Pick him off, yeah.
By the way, Lou, I've been riding my bike past your house down the shore like every weekend, and I keep yelling, "Who's Lou?" And you're never there.
1:30, I was there this weekend painting.
You're right across the street from Maui's, right?
Yes. Well, I'm down the street from Maui's.
Okay. All right. Well, you gave your address right around Memorial Day.
Do us a favor.
Day.
Next weekend, stay out on your front lawn all the time and wait for Casey to come by.
Yeah, Casey, 131 West
8. All right, Lou. Good to talk. I love Lou.
I'd love to talk to his wife and hear some stories that she has.
Right. God.
Yeah. Oh, this one time.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being at a bar and just they've got a boxing ring and just at any point in time you can sign up to fight somebody?
It used to be actually fairly common, but you would have oversized, like full bed pillow gloves, and it was sort of like, you know.
Oh, like Foxy boxing stuff?
Yeah, that was the stuff. I don't ever remember, like, legit boxing equipment, boxing matches in a bar.
Nick, you're looking it up on the internet. Is it Does it still exist?
Yeah, O'Malley's in the Alley is in Ocala, Florida. It's still there. I don't know if they still have the boxing ring, but they have a stage and oysters, and it looks like a fun place.
Wow, we're looking at photos of it. I don't see a boxing ring. I can't see how legally you would be able to pull that off still to this day.
Do you remember that movie with Charles Bronson? It was actually, it used to be a thing. It used to be bare knuckle fighting, the movie Hard Times.
I've heard of it. I don't remember it.
So around the Depression, you know, they would do, you would fight in alleyways and they'd bet on it. Bare knuckle boxing.
We never did that, but in college we used to play goal line stance all the time. Like in a dorm room, you would set up a goal line and you would basically have 3-on-3 and play football. I mean, in a space basically, Steve, from you to me, and that was it.
Right.
We almost, we had to basically catch my friend as he was falling out the window. And from the third floor.
So what, you just had to get the ball past him?
That's all you had to do.
Okay.
Well, it just promotes a brawl. That's what it's about.
Let's see here. It says here, O'Malley's Alley. When was this?
2005.
2005. O'Malley's Alley is going to remain open. The Ocala City Council decided sweeping changes laid out by the council. Those changes include knocking out the bar's popular fight night.
Okay, that was in 2005.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
The return of dwarf tossing, right?
Wow. Oh, my God.
Remember that?
I do.
That was one they had to get rid of.
The date on that was the same day as our last show at Y100. Two tragedies on the same day.
Same day. God, the stupid stuff done at some bars. It's classic. let me see here. I'm going to go to, we were talking about people getting cold cocked because Dallas Goedert from the Eagles, there's video of him. Getting knocked out. I mean, somebody comes out of nowhere, sucker punches him. He didn't see it coming. And then he just hits the ground. He is out cold, which is pretty scary when you see it. I'm going to go to an anonymous caller. Hi, you are on the air. Good morning, Anonymous.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
First time, long time. Love you guys.
Thanks, man.
Hey, so this was about 10 years ago. I was going to school up in East Stroudsburg, right? And I had my buddies up for the weekend, some family up. And, you know, we went out for the night like you always do when you're in college. Go out drinking, come back. And there's a Wawa at East Stroudsburg campus right across the street. If you've been to East Stroudsburg, you've gone there. You've gone there for munchies at the end of the night. And so I got my food, and I come outside to my buddy who is already out front of the Wawa. And he's standing across from two guys who are trash-talking to him, and they're trying to get food from him. So I intervene. I step in the middle, and I get in the one guy's face. He's a chubbier guy, and I'm calling him, you know, little fat, this and that, whatever. And his buddy's in the background lingering, and he comes out of nowhere and cold cocks me. Just like what happened to Dallas Goedert happened to me.
Okay.
Put it in front of a Wawa, and that is exactly what happened to me.
So how hard did you go down?
I went down hard. So my head smacked against the cement. So I don't remember anything after that. So according to my girlfriend, she's a little ex-girlfriend, she was there freaking out. So I woke up in the hospital, actually. And for the next week, I was actually bleeding out of my ears in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And there was a clear fluid coming out. It was
Hey, did the ambulance come to get you, or did she take you to the hospital?
So the ambulance scooped me up. And, so actually, by the way, so my brother is on the side of the Wawa puking his brains out at this time. And he comes out, and he sees me on the ground. And this is according to everybody else that was with
Hang on. Before you continue, why was he puking?
We were all drinking.
He was just drinking too much. Okay.
It was the end of the night.
Not related.
So he sees me on the ground, and he says, "What the F happened to my brother?" And my brother is actually a pretty big guy, and he can throw down.
Yeah.
And the kid took off. And my brother supposedly chased him down and beat the heck out of him. But the guy who cold cocked me, so I'm only like 5'8", he's like 6'1", like, I don't know, 200 pounds. So he definitely got the best of me.
A bitch move. I mean, it's an absolute bitch move. Did you ever catch the guy who knocked you out?
So you know what, Casey? I don't think so. Like, there was a couple times in the couple months after that where I was at the East Shogsburg Cafe. And, like, I would think I saw him, but I was so drunk that night. I don't even remember. And Kathy Pensbury. Alum, baby. Woo!
Woo! Go Falcons!
And I graduated from Temple. Your brother lived around the block from me at 7th and North.
Okay.
We lived in the straight-up hood.
Did you ever see the footage? Was there security footage?
You know what, Casey? I always wondered the same thing. If anybody at that Wawa got the footage, I would...
I would love to.
How long ago was this? How long ago was it?
You know what? I was so embarrassed that I didn't even go back to ask for it.
When was this? How many years ago?
So I graduated from Pensbury in 2008 with actually Christopher, Kathy's brother.
Yep. Yeah, my guess is that they don't retain security footage that
from
for that
10 or 12 years ago.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, that's a hell of a story. I'm glad you're obviously okay on the other side, but that, I mean, you could have died that night.
Yeah. It was. I still, when I lay on the right side of my head, I still feel it feels weird.
Remember that.
All right, thanks, man.
If you're thinking of cold cocking somebody, exactly. Or you get beer muscles, remember you could kill someone.
Do you remember for a while the knockout game that was going on?
Oh, yeah.
That was insane.
Stupid.
People just going videotaping them walking up and cold cocking somebody and catching on video.
Yep.
Hey, it's a game. It's a knockout
game. It's funny.
It's dumb. Ridiculous. All right, well, anyhow, listen. An NFL player can go down from that.
Yeah.
And absolutely, he's a large guy, and obviously, you know, he makes contact for a living regularly, but you get hit in the right spot, boom, you are out cold. That is messed up. All right. Well, anyhow, the word is that he's okay.
Yeah, thanks.
But I haven't heard any statements or anything as of yet. We'll see.
Okay.
It's from Scary Video.
Yeah.
All right, we need to take a break. We have some bizarre file stories that are coming up in just a moment. We will share them when we return. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, let's do this bizarre file thing.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
Okay, we're going to begin with this. Two 26-year-old friends were hanging out there playing video games at home in Palm Harbor, Florida, when one shot the other while showing him what he thought was an unloaded gun. That's why you've got to be careful. Sean Cook went to hang out at Shea Harkins' house Thursday evening. Deputies said Harkins went to retrieve a Colt M4 rifle that he had been customizing prior to Cook's arrival. Harkins reportedly told detectives he returned to his bedroom and pointed the rifle at Cook as a joke, which is when Cook responded, "What are you going to do, shoot me?" Deputies said Harkins admitted to pulling the trigger on what he thought was an unloaded weapon. The gun had a bullet in the chamber, and it struck Cook in the chest. He was transported to the hospital and was pronounced dead.
So that's why if you adhere to that one rule, never point a gun at someone.
Yeah, and also
unless you're using it, obviously, in a defensive capacity.
And also the gun is always loaded.
Yeah.
That's what you'd always assume. Harkins has been charged with one count of manslaughter. He was transported to the county jail without incident. We have audio of this story, Case. Have this ready. TikTok users filmed the moment. They say they unexpectedly discovered human remains inside a suitcase that was dumped on a waterfront in Washington State. Seattle police announced the discovery of two items of luggage that contained a dead body on Friday night. The young people who say that they found the first bag and alerted authorities posted video footage from the shocking encounter. It was captioned, "Something traumatic happened that changed my life." This is a TikTok user, Henry, wrote on the video. The social media user used the hashtag crime and murder, said, "We found this black suitcase. We were joking that maybe the suitcase would have money, but the smell was overwhelming." And in the amateur video, the clip, the videographer is heard telling one girl, "Open it. It stinks, yo." So I think we have audio of that. So let me, in case you got that queued up.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Yeah, this is it. No, it's not working. All right, let me play this one then. Here we go.
"Guys, we found a suitcase at the..."
Yeah, you go. I'll hold your stuff.
Bro. Wait, open it. Open it.
It was sweet.
It stinks, y'all. Oh! Okay, so she's calling the police so we can see if it's actually a dead body or it's just food.
Yeah, they didn't open. There were plastic bags inside. They didn't open the plastic bags. And sure enough, there were body parts in there.
Oh, my God.
And they found two of the suitcases. There was another one in the water. And so they're trying to figure out what's going on. But they said it smelled really bad.
Yeah.
So they are heard. There we go. They are heard laughing before realizing the black bag stuffed inside the suitcase may contain something sinister. Investigators noticed the bags contain human remains. prompting them to summon detectives to the area. The remains were scheduled to be taken to the medical examiner's office for further analysis. People in the video only learned that it was human remains after checking the news later on.
Wow.
Medical examiners were going to identify the remains and determined a cause of death, and police have not released any information. By the way, the video caption states that they were using what's called a Randonautica app.
Randonautica?
Yeah, this sounds slightly interesting to me. It may sound dumb to you guys, but the app encourages people to explore areas around them by using a random number generator to come up with a set of coordinates. Users are told to set an intention before embarking on the trip and then report back later on whether they experienced any coincidences that suggests that the universe had fulfilled the intention.
You've got time for that.
I may do that. I love stuff like
that.
What
do they call it? Geomapping?
Geocaching.
Geocaching, yeah.
Yeah, so, but this is, I mean, there's no guarantee that anything's there. Or you might find a suitcase full of dead body parts.
Wow.
I don't know. Wow. A suspected COVID-19 patient in India allegedly died after his family members unplugged the ventilator, which was giving him breathing support, to switch on an air cooler. The incident occurred on Monday, by the way.
So it wasn't like they did it on purpose.
No, they did it by accident. The patient who passed away was a 40-year-old man who came to the hospital with breathing difficulties and was suspected to have COVID-19. The patient's family members came to visit him and brought along their own air cooler.
Ooh, it's much nicer now, right?
Without informing the hospital. And the hospital had not installed an air conditioner in the isolation ward to prevent the spread of the novel coronavirus. But the ventilator given to the patient had a backup battery. The family didn't inform the hospital staff that they were unplugging it. The battery discharged eventually. So I guess they unplugged it and saw that it was still running.
Oh, okay. So, but honestly, would you ever unplug anything in a hospital?
Nothing.
Come on.
The patient's condition.
I was just trying to run my hot plate.
Turned critical on the same day after which he passed away. The doctor on duty filed a complaint saying the patient's relatives had misbehaved.
These things are noisy. Unplug a few of them.
And had been negligent.
What's that noise?
Beep, beep, beep.
And then we have another story that's COVID-19 related. A bottle of hand sanitizer left on a car's dashboard. Caused the vehicle to catch on fire.
You hear about this?
Yeah.
It's alcohol and that stuff.
Thursday, and this happened in suburban Waukegan. Fire officials stated that sunlight shining through the windshield onto the sanitizer was enough to cause the fire to ignite. The owner had been refilling the bottle with 80% alcohol sanitizer that was supplied by her employer. The owner was able to spray a small amount of water through a small hole in the windshield and extinguish the fire. Fire department said other similar incidents have happened across the country, and with the summer heat, they strongly recommend hand sanitizer isn't kept in vehicles. I need to get mine out of my car.
Save the sanitizer and then my baby.
Yeah. All right. And there you go. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you. Let's take another break and come back in just a moment or two. We shall return shortly. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I want to pass along this email that I got. It's from a guy named Kyle, and it concerns the American Cancer Society Bikeathon.
Yes.
And Team WMMR said, hey, guys, been listening since the Y100 days. He goes on to tell us all this great stuff. In fact, he was in a contest we did one time where you had to be a roadie to win tickets to the festival, and we made him divide the M&Ms and wrap yourselves in duct tape, and then he says, try to pick up a woman. Now, I don't remember that part, but anyhow, he said it ended with the cop showing up and me not winning. So, whatever it was.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
But he says, hey, the bikeathon has gone virtual, as you guys know. This was going to be my first bikeathon race, anything organized on wheels. I've only done runs. And I was kind of bummed to hear that this go virtual as biking across my home state sounded awesome. And I've been training hard for it, so it's been kind of a big letdown. This ride meant a lot to me, as my wife has survived, almost hit that five-year mark, two different cancers. My sister has just been diagnosed with ovarian stage 4 cancer and just started chemo. And finally, I myself, the other year, was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic neuroendocrine, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, a tumor, exactly what Steve Jobs had, he says.
Okay, all right.
That has metastasized to my liver, not resectable and thus not curable. I'm hoping that next year to still be well enough to ride. And the reason I'm emailing you is keep mentioning that the virtual ride is still going. The donation still can't count. Cancer hasn't stopped. I went in for my oncology follow-up, and all the sad, masked faces of people without their loved ones, no family members because of coronavirus, just broke my heart. You don't have to ask people to donate to me or Team MMR. Just donate to ACS. Of course, if they do donate to me, my wife will post embarrassing pictures of me on social media. So there is incentive to donate to me. Hell, I'll tell you guys, post it or other embarrassing things if I raise enough. I'll let you guys post it.
All right.
Other embarrassing things if it raises enough. No shame in my game. This email has turned me into a rambling. Got to get back to work at Cable Town. Rage on. P.S. Hi to everyone else. Love to all of you. So that is from Kyle. Kyle is a guy who has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He's asking you to donate. Please do it.
So I did not realize that it had been completely canceled.
No, me neither.
So it's going virtual is what he says.
When is the virtual ride going to be then?
I don't know any of the details, Casey. So I'm just taking it on faith from him. I didn't do any of the follow-up to find out about this.
You can fulfill your pledge now through August 9th. The information's up on the community page of PrestonandSteve.com and WMMR.com. Marcus obviously does it every year, so you can join Team Marcus and Team WMMR. So all that information is up on the website if you so choose.
Okay. So we will make sure that you're aware of that and keep reminding you of that because you were all set to go, man.
Yeah. So that's Marcus's ride. I do the bend to the shore.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Ours, as of right now, has not been canceled. It has been moved back a month. So our ride is going to be on August 23rd. And but Marcus's is the, his baby is the ACS. So...
So they're both up, Casey. Yours, yeah, okay. And Marcus's Team WMR and Team Rock and Rollers, which is Casey, both up on the community page of PrestonandSteve.com if you want to get all the information about both of those things.
And so the virtual events are taking place. I did the Take Steps Plus virtual walk with the Crohn's Colitis Foundation over the weekend as well. So, we're just doing what we need to do to keep the event alive, and that's what everybody's trying to do right now. If we can't be there in person, we're going to do it in some fashion.
And you know what? What's amazing is that the generosity of people, regardless of the situation, comes through. So
exactly.
We hear it was a great event.
Yep. All right. It is time to take a stroll on the grounds of the Just Saying Institute. Because I have various stories from that establishment that need to be passed along to you.
It's a magnificent establishment. If you ever get a chance to walk around the grounds, the monorail has been decommissioned for a while.
Right.
Because of track repairs. But for the most part, it's an incredible facility.
It's
beautiful. A lot of people have likened it to Epcot.
This time of year is just gorgeous. Boston University scientists built a scanner that can detect someone's biological age by examining the lens of their eye. Now, chronological age is how long you've been alive, while biological age is based on the aging of your actual cells, which can vary due to many life's factors, not just how many years you've actually lived. Ooh. So if you were to guess at your biological age, what do you guys think? Do you think it would come in younger than you actually are now or older than you actually are now?
I think it'd be spot on.
Yeah?
I think, yeah, I probably feel a little younger than 44, but I'm all right with that.
Okay.
Definitely younger.
Definitely younger. All right.
Well, I'm thinking younger. At least I feel. I've done everything for a long time to keep healthy, but it's not hard to assume I'm younger when I'm 1,000 years old.
Mm. I'd probably be around in the ballpark, I think, of my chronological age.
Yeah.
I think biologically, I'm probably around 173 years old.
Biologically?
Yeah.
The lens of the eye contains proteins that accumulate aging-related changes throughout your life, and these proteins... provide a permanent record of each person's life history of aging.
I would never, you know, this is the kind of stuff I'm like, I don't need to know that. You know, I don't need, hey, we can, how long we assume you're going to live? I don't need to know that. No. I'm going to try my best to live as long as I can, and I'll play the odds.
If there's a way that you can sort of maybe reverse it.
Tailor things, yeah. And they can help you with that, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then you see people who are chain smokers who do all the wrong stuff and live to 120.
Yeah, a friend of mine's dad's a doctor, and he's always said, listen, some of it is a crapshoot.
Yeah.
It really is. You can do the most healthy things for your body, and still something physically can...
You choke to death on a matchbox car.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about an accident. I'm talking about physically something goes wrong. You get some sort of cancer, you get some sort of... a disease you've never heard of, or something that's within your body.
Pfefferman's
disease.
Or
there are people that party their asses off, don't take care of themselves, overweight, and they live to be 102. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
and I hate those people.
I know. So
they've enjoyed life every second of it.
So your best bet, though, is to take care of yourself.
Right. Suffer.
In case you're not one of those people.
Eat salad with no dressing. And suffer.
Right, Bubba?
Like it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do you still give your husband a hard time about what he eats?
Yeah,
how's, how's your grass over there?
Oh, right. Yeah, because he grazes out in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
No, I mean, listen, it's been so long at this point.
I mean, but think of all you saved on mowing, you know, because he's out there. It's awesome.
So they said that in a statement, our eye scanner can decode this recording of how a person is aging on the molecular level. It's the first non-invasive method for tracking biological age, and researchers say it's important, as knowing biological age can help improve medical care.
Yeah. I'm looking for the eye scanner that can see the last few things you saw, Preston.
The last few,
like in science fiction, right?
Yes, totally.
That would be cool.
I think Black Mirror has an episode that's like that, and they can scroll through.
Now, give me that eye scan.
All right, this one's weird. I got this from the Just Saying Institute as well.
The Just Saying Institute.
Women, listen to how weird this is. Women exposed to common chemicals in food packaging, cookware, and industrial foams, meaning, okay, so the cookware, like nonstick pans, experience menopause 2 years earlier than they otherwise would.
If you use nonstick pans?
Yes.
So nonstick pans will make you start getting the effects of menopause sooner. Wow.
Yeah. So U.S. researchers found these items contain high levels of chemicals referred to as PFAS.
PFAS. But then you'll also starve to death because you can't get the muffins out of the tin.
Which are used as oil and water repellents and coatings for consumer products.
Oh.
The chemicals have been found to disrupt the endocrine system, the hormone-producing collection of glands that regulate sexual function. The data...
I went through menopause when I was 26.
The data shows women with high PFAS levels in their blood samples reach menopause 2 years earlier than those with lower levels.
I'm alarmed by your PFAS level.
Earlier menopause has been linked with increased overall mortality, cardiovascular disease, cardiovascular death, low bone mineral density, and osteoporosis.
I mean, such a common thing.
Yeah.
Nonstick stuff.
Do you remember some of these weird things that people attribute to, you know, food and
like
so
fluoride
on.
And toothpaste?
Well, I remember years ago hearing someone saying that the reason that women have bigger breasts now is because of the butter.
Yes.
There
were a few studies. It would be what it had to do with, I think, was the hormones that are put into the cattle, growth hormones, and the way it affects early onset puberty for women and that whole thing.
So it's not just butter, it's all dairy.
Basically.
Okay.
Ending up with the butter.
I remember butter being singled out, and I remember was it they blossomed earlier or
they
just
blossomed
bigger?
Earlier and got bigger.
They were bigger. Mm. Okay.
Butter for bigger boobs. So, three Bs.
With
the three B.
Triple
three
B.
Butter, yeah, BFBB.
With the menopause, what's the average age around where it starts?
Good question.
Well, it used to be, like, they used to say in your 50s. Like, yeah. when you hit 50, that's when you were going to... But, I mean, I think a lot of people go earlier, and then there are people that can go much later, too.
So, menopause is essentially, you stop having a period, you stop producing eggs, right? That's essentially what menopause is.
You become the devil for about a year.
So it turns you evil for a little while?
I mean, listen, in my experience, yes.
You don't stop producing eggs. You have all the eggs that you are born with, that so you run out of eggs.
Okay, well, that's what I mean. You're done. Yes. Okay, so menopause can happen in your 40s, 50s, but the average age is 51 in the United States. Okay.
All right, now, if you've had a hysterectomy... You can still go through menopause?
You know what, Case? I believe that you can. Okay. Or maybe you go through...
Phantom menopause?
No, but maybe you go through it when you have... Because I have a cousin of mine. She's very young, and she had to have one. And I remember when she went through it, and I think they told her either she would go through it, like, now when they were prepping her, or...
Right.
Still at the same time, maybe in the 50s or whatever, but she was still supposedly going to get it or go through it.
But the standard symptoms or the standard things that you would commonly suffer are the hot flashes, right, and moodiness, all of that stuff? Yeah,
the hot flashes are, right. I have a couple of friends that, like, you know, I'm sitting there, I was talking to one of them, and she was like, I just can't take this. She's like, look at me, I'm sweating for no reason, I'm just standing here. And
yeah.
I was like, okay,
it's gotta suck, yeah.
All right, here's a couple of things that are pulled up. Nick found this. It says, if a hysterectomy leaves one or both of your ovaries intact, there's a chance that you'll experience the menopause within 5 years of having the operation,
okay.
Although your hormone levels decrease after they call it the menopause.
They also say that you're more likely to erupt into spontaneous Charlestons.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that would be
which
like...
Which is weird.
That'd be like a highlight.
Dense.
It says your ovaries continue producing testosterone for up to 20 years. Okay. Interesting.
But isn't a hysterectomy, aren't they removed? Aren't they gone?
I don't.
Wow, we are so massively medically literate.
Yeah.
We
know the part
crashing about
the Charleston.
Yeah, right.
I noticed that my wife doesn't have a penis and there's a hole down there. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm pretty good on this stuff.
So a hysterectomy can mean a variety of things, but it can, and by the way, I had to look this up.
You didn't know this?
No.
Smarty pants.
Removal of your uterus, cervix, fallopian tubes, ovaries, and the top portion of your vagina.
Right.
Okay.
So, and there are medical.
Total, I'm sorry, Steve. There are total ones and partial ones.
Right. And medical reasons for early, for all of those, those different things.
Well, we talked about Angelina Jolie earlier, and she had a preventative partial hysterectomy. She also had a double mastectomy for preventative reasons. She did not have ovarian cancer, nor did she have breast cancer.
But understand that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When you said she had an 87% risk of having it.
There's also one called a radical hysterectomy.
Radical.
That's rad, man.
And then a totally tubular one as well.
Right. Yeah. Fallopian tubular.
Do you want to talk to a pharmacist?
Sure.
Okay.
Ask them if they sell Whitman samplers.
I'll go to Seth. Hi, Seth. Good morning.
Good morning. When they do a total abdominal hysterectomy, that's when they definitely remove the ovaries. Whenever the ovaries are taken out, that's when... you surgically go through menopause.
All right.
Surgically go through menopause. Okay.
Yep.
And that's when the ovaries are officially removed. Okay. Excellent.
Yep. You can also, there's also reasons for getting anti-hormones. Say, for example, you've got a cancer that's hormone positive. You want to stop the hormones. That'll also put you through menopause effectively.
Okay.
Yeah. Hormones, the introduction of hormones into the body and you know, like while there was Androgel and all that stuff, it can throw you. Dr. Mike freaks out when he hears about, you know, hormone replacements and all of this sort of stuff. It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Thank you, Seth. Appreciate it, man.
Sure.
I've also got Mary, who is a nurse and can explain some things to us.
Right.
Hi, Mary.
Hello. How are you this morning?
Good.
So it sounds like he answered part of it. But, yes, you can have a hysterectomy where just the uterus is removed and then your ovaries are intact, or there are times where they medically want to remove everything.
Okay.
And if they remove everything, you are going to go into menopause. And I know somebody, she had a hysterectomy young,
And I just heard you say Dr. Mike doesn't like hormones, but if you are going to go through menopause too young, too rapidly, that is not good for your health system either.
Right, right.
Okay. She did have a hormone patch for a certain number of years until she would have been more age appropriate to go.
Sure, I'm sure there's you know appropriate and proper applications for that. But wow, right. Yeah. So I guess that's part of the deal. It's really yeah. there's so much to that. That world, guys, right. we are.
And the one thing that the radio announcer didn't mention is that I didn't find out until I hit 50, there is perimenopause. So you're not just
dumping
everything in a yes, P-E-R-I.
Okay.
So it's the whole phase around menopause where your hormones just go wacky. So unfortunately, in some people, it can last up to 10 years.
10 years of menopause?
That's, Kathy, that's what you're talking about.
Perimenopause, where your cycle, you know, can't decide if you're going to have a period every month. Oh. So you might go months without one, and then one just shows up. You might go a year without one.
Poor human beings.
I know. I say, God, we got everything terrible.
I mean, our stuff is relatively easy to operate. You know, yeah. We don't even get an owner's manual.
No.
But
I mean, sometimes it has a mind of its own, but... Yeah. You know, yeah.
Let me ask you. I wonder is there a record for the oldest menstruating woman?
Woman, there's got to be.
Oh. Well, I definitely have heard the oldest people to give birth.
Yeah, and I assume definitely. That one is they would go hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, well, except that most people aren't trying to get pregnant when they're
in their 60s. Or 60s. Yeah. I remember there was, yeah. I think a woman was 66.
Yep. You got her. Yeah,
now,
Steve.
There was one time that was really old, and it was a surrogate. So it was not her own.
Yeah. all right. Well, thank you for your call. We appreciate it, Mary.
Okay.
Yeah. Maria del Carmen Buzada de Lara. That's a long name.
It sure is.
Is the oldest verified mother. She was 66 and 358 days. So she was,
almost 67.
Almost 67, yeah. When she gave birth to twins, she was 130 days older than Adriana Elisiu. Who gave birth in 2005 to a baby girl. In both cases, the children were conceived through IVF with donor eggs. But, okay, so it wasn't their own
egg.
Oh,
all right. So what was the oldest?
That's giving birth. So
natural, unassisted birth.
I don't know. There's a 74-year-old woman who may be, it's in question. Nick found this story.
There's a lot of doctors who won't do that, who won't do IVF if they're at a certain age, just because then the child's not going to have a parent after, so many years.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so anyhow, if you use non-stick pans, you might go into menopause early. That's what we've
learned. The hell?
Wow. The Just Saying Institute.
Come on!
Because of PFAS, or whatever those things are called.
PFAS.
Here is a study. Data from Norway finds that women and men still choose partners as they used to. Norwegian university researchers recently surveyed adults across the world and found that women seem to care more about security in relationships, while good looks matter more to men, and that women often prefer men older than themselves, while men often prefer younger women.
We're so superficial.
We are. When scientists compared this to old data, they found they got similar answers in the late 1980s, despite the major social changes that have occurred since then.
So here's some questions.
Yeah.
What do gay men routinely prefer?
Good question.
What do gay women routinely prefer? Would those same things hold true?
That's very interesting. I do not know.
What do, and obviously all the various other, I mean, so let's take the more obvious. So, yeah, I wonder if that would, if a gay man would look for security.
Versus looks. Or is it the other way around? They still are, like heterosexual men who are looking
for a head scratcher
attractiveness to be one of the key factors. Listen, it all depends on who you are, but I guess there are the studies that lean a little bit towards one direction.
Do you find, Kathy, that most women, or that women you've encountered, and you do extensive surveys in this field,
right?
that most women, on average, would prefer an older man, a more secure man?
No, I don't know that I would necessarily make that statement.
I'm saying reasonable, like 30 to 40 years old.
No, but I do know people that I mean, forever have dated older men. It was right. just what they did. I mean, yeah. since we were young, since we were in college.
Kath, you are probably closest in age to your spouse, right? You and
I'm
Bub.
Really young.
So is he.
Well, were you guys, did you guys graduate the same year? Or is he, he's a year older than
yeah,
you.
Yeah, year
okay.
older.
Okay. Okay. That's close.
How you and Rochelle, how far apart?
5 years.
Claire and I, six.
Okay.
Nick?
I'm probably the most. 11? 10?
Okay. No kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
She's 10 years younger than you?
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny because my wife was older than me. So I don't really have a preference, you know, and we started dating in our 20s, my wife and I did, ex-wife, and my girlfriend and I, for us, I mean, you know, it's trite and commonplace to say, but age really doesn't matter. It never comes up.
The largest spread that I had was 20 years at one point.
Older or younger?
She was older.
She was older, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Casey, what's the age?
1 year, just over
just
a year.
Okay, yep. So you guys are right in the ballpark. The dad also showed that friendliness and intelligence were considered the most attractive qualities.
What about cleanliness?
It doesn't indicate that, no.
See?
Partners by both men and women. The lead professor said evolutionary psychology's classic studies of gender differences and partner preferences have shown themselves to be robust over time and place.
Here's a new term that I'd never heard.
As a gay man, he says, I'll say we prefer a young hung stud over a wrinkly winky any day.
So a young hung stud over a wrinkly winky.
Yeah. Wrinkly winky. That's from Dan in Norristown.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Wrinkly winky.
Now, if one of our lesbian listeners could call in with a take on that or check in, because I'm just curious. I wonder how those things break down. Obviously, all these things are always sort of general.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the thing. Because you may look for someone who's more masculine, more feminine, you know, but prefer a certain sex, and you know, it's a whole big stew.
Yeah, and always think outside the box, as they say. I wasn't my wife's type by a large margin when we first started dating.
Yeah,
and vice versa. I mean, I would say it was outlandish. Yeah, there was some attraction, but I was not routinely the type of guy she was going for.
Right, right. All right, so let's see what else we have in the Institute.
The Institute. J.I. What is it again?
J.S.I.
Rob Dunn and his team of ecologists are professional navel gazers.
What?
They get turned on by the navel?
Well, their new study details the microbial contents of volunteers' belly buttons.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
But wait till you hear. This is crazy.
No, this is going to be disgusting.
Man.
The whole thing started about 2 years ago. An undergrad's only in a biology lab ID sampling colleagues' navel bacteria for a holiday card struck a chord with the North Carolina State University team, which had adopted a new focus on citizen science.
And like to do something that allows me to look at navels.
And they said, and belly buttons are just ridiculous enough to appeal to almost everyone. This is according to Rob Dunn. What's more, given the belly button status as one of the body's more rarely scrubbed crannies, it offers researchers a chance to study as close to a pristine microbial landscape as is possible on the modern human.
Do you clean out your navel in the morning when you're showering?
No.
Oh, I do. Yes. I do, too. Yeah.
I knew you guys would.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you don't.
My finger, water, slow, boom,
soap,
done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so my roommate in college was so grossed out by her own belly button that she would she couldn't touch it. Like it would almost you know, like nails on a chalkboard for her.
My buddy was like that as well. He could not stand.
Time for therapy.
So weird.
It's just, I guess, he felt like it was
a hole.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially, like it was just a weak part of his body.
I found some lint.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
My little brother couldn't stand it when you would touch his Achilles heel, and that's how my buddy George was with his belly buttons. Like,
I wouldn't want anybody sticking their finger in my belly button. No,
that's private.
Get out of there.
It's like, you know.
Get out.
That's an orifice.
Besides Nick, most of us don't want people probing our buttholes either.
That's right. Thank you, Steve. But no, my belly button does not gross me out, and the fact that I don't get in there and dig around and clean it out does not.
I mean, it's gonna. It's naturally gonna clean. I mean, I go one extra yard because I like it. I like occasionally. I like to have a little bit of coffee in it.
So
I found that people generally like it when you walk up to them and you push their belly button, then you say, they love that.
The researchers handed out swabs of 60 to 260 volunteers. Back to the lab, the scientists examined the genetic makeup.
Now back to the lab.
Of their bacterial loot. From 60 belly buttons, the team found 2,368 bacterial species, 1,458 of which may be new to science.
So they discovered new species in the human navel.
This is how infrequently they go in there and look around.
So we're trying to send a ship to Mars, and we have yet to explore our own navels.
Some belly buttons harbored as few as 29 species, and some as many as 107, although most had around 67. 92% of the bacteria types showed up on fewer than 10% of subjects. In fact, most of the time, they only appeared in only a single subject. Listen to this. One science writer apparently harbored a bacterium that had previously been found only in soil from Japan, where he had never been.
Okay. That, so the dude had stuff you could only find in Japan.
And he'd never been there.
In his belly button.
Isn't that wild?
That is crazy.
Uh-huh.
You probably have that in your belly button.
I probably do.
You probably do.
I got some stuff from India.
Some teriyaki.
I'll bet I got some Antarctica bacteria in
Look
there.
At this.
All seven continents.
Yep.
It's a trip around the world. Ooh, his belly button.
What's this? Bamboo.
Another more fragrant individual who hadn't washed...
A panda fingernail.
Who hadn't washed in several years, hosted two species of so-called extramophile bacteria that typically thrive in ice caps and thermal vents.
What the hell?
So do they have any suggestion as to how Japanese matter ended up in a dude's navel?
No.
Mm-mm.
Despite the diversity...
I was with the Japanese hooker, but perhaps.
Themes emerged even though not a single strain showed up in each subject. Eight species were present on more than 70% of the subjects, and whenever these species appeared, they did so in huge numbers.
So, okay. You ever, obviously we've all known people who are outies, who had the outie navel. It's an interesting looking thing. I wonder if that has less of an occurrence of this sort of stuff.
Probably.
Because it's more exposed and easily cleanable.
Here's a point somebody makes. It says on the text, it says, try being pregnant. Your belly button is so stretched out, you don't need to actively clean it. You ever seen a really
it's just a bump
pregnant woman's belly button?
Yeah,
it comes popping out. It's wild.
Same thing happens to me when I haven't gone in a while for my sphincter.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It just almost completely disappears.
So Dunn said, that makes a belly button a lot like rainforests.
In that there's so many exotic birds?
In any given forest, he explained that the spectrum of flora might vary, but an ecologist can count on a certain few dominant tree types.
We're inside Kathy Romano's navel. And it's quite impressive. Over there is a beautiful toucan.
He said, the idea that some aspects of our bodies are like a rainforest to me is quite beautiful.
Yeah, of course it is. Because he's a lunatic.
But predicting which species might like to call the human body home is only the first step. To make these make the knowledge useful, scientists need to know why these bacteria are showing up.
Hmm.
Hang on a second. I have a girlfriend here. Meg wants to talk about her boyfriend's belly button. Hi, Meg. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. How are you?
Good. What do you want to tell us about your boyfriend's belly button?
So if there's enough lint in it, I will totally pull it out and blow on it like a wishy, like a dandelion. Every single God. Wish has come true. Stop
Every it. Belly button wish has come true?
I kid you not.
Like what?
That's awesome.
I got a brand new motorcycle for my birthday. So
Dude,
split it, so.
That's pretty cool. You got a you got a brand new motorcycle.
That'd be worth pulling belly button lint
absolutely.
Out of somebody
I'd pull ass lint down for that.
So you will pull it out and then make a wish and blow it into the wind.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
So I have to ask, is there any sort, because, you know, sometimes people's belly buttons can stink. I mean, are we dealing with an odor situation? I guess not, right?
No, definitely not stinky. It's more like when you're doing your laundry and clean out the lint trap.
Okay.
Okay. Interesting.
His navel's a lint trap.
That always smells kind of nice.
I do like that, though. All right. Can set a house on fire, Preston.
Thank you, Meg.
So be careful.
I told you guys about the time that I found a seed-like thing in my belly button.
This is awful.
Do you remember that, Kathy?
Yeah.
It was a creature.
No, it wasn't a creature, but I looked it up online, and it's a legit thing that can happen. It wasn't a freak of nature.
No, it was legitimate.
And I forgot what it was. Nick, look up belly button seed.
Yeah, I remember talking about
it. An old-style coin belt in my ass, Preston.
Here you go. A navel stone.
Oh,
a navel stone.
Is a hard, stone-like object that forms inside your belly button. They're most commonly found in people with deep belly buttons. I do have a deep belly button.
Would it share characteristics with like a gallstone?
And those who don't practice proper hygiene.
They're seen
more often in adults because they can take years to grow big enough.
Unwashed legs and filthy navel.
To be noticed.
He'll be on his tombstone.
Yeah, I remember that. It was weird. I was picking around in there.
Yeah.
You know, every now and then I do take a pick.
And you heard like a baby crying.
Take a look and see if there's anything in
there. I never do. For as much as I pick my nose.
You don't pick your belly button?
No, I don't do it.
Check, see if there's anything in there. And
I just did. It was weird.
And I felt a weird sensation.
You felt something pulling back.
I'm like, there's something in there.
Yeah.
And then I had to you know, like work it out. And it was, I'm like, that's a seed.
Help us. We've been trapped here.
This is making me nauseous a little bit.
So
what's worse for you, Kathy? So ear wax or navel? Okay.
Yeah.
What would it be harder to lick the inside of my ear or the inside of my belly button?
No, belly button.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How about butthole?
Just set. No. Okay. No,
well, honestly, it's just a common thing. You ask anybody at work. Would you mind licking my butthole? I'm sure that's being asked in every business. But I mean, that's just simply for a scientific test.
Somebody recently told me that guys love that.
No, that is incorrect.
Listen, there may be some that dig that.
No, I do not.
Yeah, no,
they'll go wild.
What?
No. Who said that?
I swear
to
God.
Who?
All right, write it down.
Diane, you're one.
Jer, because I thought it was Jerry. I thought it was your mom.
Yeah, your mom who won't let you eat gum out of a vending machine is encouraging you to toss people salad. No ice cream for you, but please go to town on some dude's ass.
I had to get out of that conversation quick. I was like,
That's funny. I'm dying to know who that is. We need to hear it later.
I'm not telling you.
Hoping to answer the broader questions, Dunn's team is already working on several hundred more navels, soon to be 600.
What a life.
They'll use those new samples to start testing the correlation of the navel dwellers.
Yeah.
With everything from subjects' places of birth to the makeups of their immune system.
In the navel.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was...
That's an amazing thing. You've always wondered about it. Obviously, at one point, it housed the connecting, you know, cord between you and your mother, and it was a source of life.
Yeah, exactly. All right, do I have time for more from
you
the JSI?
You do, sir.
All right, Just Say an Institute.
From the Just Say I, Just A, Just...
JSI. The hell with it. Dozens of intelligent alien races could be living alongside us in the Milky Way, a study has claimed. Steve, we had touched on this last week.
Yeah, now there's always things that pop up about the estimated likelihood of life, but this one I thought was actually very interesting because this actually represents a closer proximity than others have suggested.
Researchers at the University of Nottingham have taken a new approach to estimating the number of possible extraterrestrial civilizations using the assumption that intelligent life develops on other planets in a similar way as it does on Earth. So that's number one. They have to assume that intelligent life comes about like it did here on Earth.
Right.
Like,
from navel seeds.
Not considering that there might be other types of intelligent life. So they calculate that our galaxy could harbor at least 36 intelligent alien races capable of sending radio signals into space. But they say the average distance to such civilizations is likely to be 17,000 light years, making detection and communication very difficult with our present technology. The team developed a new model to estimate the number of intelligent alien races in our galaxy, which they called the astrobiological Copernican limit.
Okay.
The model assumes that it takes around 5 billion years for intelligent life to form on other planets, as on Earth, and that these planets orbit a star with a high metal content, just like the sun. Now, this differs from traditional techniques, which rely on making guesses of values relating to life where opinion varies substantially, according to research.
All right, so the sun is 93 million miles from here.
Correct.
So you're talking for even radio transmissions, as depicted, we mentioned many times, the beginning of the movie Contact, where they show how long it takes for radio signals to get to somewhere. I mean, that alone, to get a communication from somewhere out in the great void would be, you know, that you want to talk about a moment in history that would just reset everything.
Yes.
Would be unbelievable.
But not only the vast distances, but also the specific pinpointing of getting right to those locations. It's astronomical.
Yeah.
You know, that we would ever encounter another one.
I saw an updated version. You guys, we talked about that, the Power of 10 video.
Yeah.
And there was a newer one that, you know, just added some astronomical anomalies that have come into being that, you know, we've discovered over the last 10 years, 20 years or so or whatever. Anyway, the vastness of the Milky Way galaxy, you can't really even fathom it. And the amount of space in between everything is even bigger than the amount of the things. There's so much nothing out there.
And what comprises space, dark matter, and all of those other things.
And then you add in time into the equation. So what if there's an intelligent being out there, but it existed 4 billion years ago or 5 billion years from now?
Yeah. And yet, in all of that, there are dudes that like having their butts licked.
Right? Yeah. Different strokes, man.
I mean, if you want to talk about categorizing and prioritizing.
Yeah.
Do you think aliens would be into that, too? Why not?
Yeah. To be honest, yes. Because ours smell like lilac on my home planet.
Well, that's delightful.
It is, really. When you just start rooting around in there, it smells pleasant. It smells smells like a good spa.
Okay. I'll toss you out.
The new study.
And if you crack the cheeks open far wide, a little pez comes out.
Oh. Little what?
A little pez.
Pez.
Oh, pez. I heard piss.
I thought it was paste.
Pez, whatever. Yeah. I mean, things don't translate exactly.
That would be interesting. Wouldn't that be funny if, you know, they look for a commonality of geometric and symbols for the elements and so on and so forth. Would it be wild if the one thing that connected us through to the first contacted aliens is salad tossing?
It's some kind of fetish.
Yeah, some sort of fetish. It's a thing we can connect on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're into that, too. It drives us
God
wild.
Oh, goddamn, it feels good, doesn't it, man? I tell you what. Some galorpide sticks her schnozzle into your dangflorth. I'm shooting gore splat all over the windshield.
I got a gore splat. Oh my God.
Look at the rudimentary things that would connect us together.
Yeah.
You would wonder also, would stop and think. Those are actually legitimate questions. I know this is absurd, but
what?
would another race advanced? Are there things that are, again, basic to humor or basic to, would they enjoy procreating? Would they enjoy the act of, you know, all those simple primal things, would they translate?
I don't know. The Vulcans weren't into humor.
They were not.
Humor wasn't their thing.
No, but they protected themselves.
Yes.
And they did spawn, though.
They did procreate.
Yes.
Yep. Now, whether they enjoyed that or not, I'm not really sure.
I don't know. But, didn't look like it.
No. The new study, according to author Tom Westby, he said, our new study simplifies these assumptions using new data, giving us a solid estimate of the number of civilizations in our galaxy.
Huh.
They said there should be at least a few dozen active civilizations in our galaxy.
You know, this is the core of so much science fiction and so much speculation. It's an amazing thing, an amazing possibility. Oh. And yet there were aspects of it that terrified Stephen Hawking
sure.
and other astrophysicists who say, in fact, I forget who it was. It might have been Stephen Hawking who had issues with putting the invitation on
Voyager and
on
so
Voyager
on.
Saying,
we don't know.
We don't know who's going to get that first.
Listen, we have communication issues with our own species.
Yeah, right.
And to come across one and to, first determine hostile or not.
Sure.
How to communicate and all of that following, you know, it's, why even go through it? We're just fine.
To show up.
We got enough crap going on.
We got enough going on right now, and we don't need to add to it. I agree. As interesting and as outrageous as that would be to find out, you know, verification that there is another intelligent species out there somewhere, it's still dangerous.
Well, you would love, everyone would love an encounter as in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, where, hey, you know,
yeah,
hey, it's great. Now, like, come on board and let's take a ride.
Yeah.
Just think about this intelligent species that we have on this planet. We can't even get along.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We have communication issues as it is.
And we're just figuring out what's in our navels.
Yeah. What's your favorite depiction of an alien
encounter?
Just civilization encounter, whatever it may be, from movies that we know.
Well, Steve mentioned it, but Contact's pretty damn good because it brings in science and science fiction.
I like that movie, but I'll tell you what, the movie I did not like, but I liked how different they made it seem, was the one that Amy Adams is in.
Oh,
Redhead.
Yeah.
She's a communications expert.
Right.
Or a language expert.
Arrival.
That movie, I didn't like it. I was like, it was a bit of a head scratcher, but what those creatures were and how they were trying to communicate, I'm like, okay, we're so completely different and so weird that's kind of, I could see an encounter like
that. It was like Annihilation is a similar one, which is troubling, but also, my favorite of all time would be the one in 2001, A Space Odyssey, which is an encounter that takes place at the end. But, I don't know. I always like them when they're smiling and happy and they don't want to destroy us.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, Arrival is almost, the aliens are just sort of this vehicle for a much bigger sort of philosophical question.
Okay.
Steve, how could you not mention Mac and Me?
Mac and Me, that scene in McDonald's alone, where that little thing, just an amazing, heartwarming creature.
Oh, this is a good one. Starman.
Starman is good.
Jeff Bridges, right?
Right, yes.
Yeah, I always say Jeff Daniels when I mean Jeff Bridges and vice versa. But yeah, Starman's a great movie.
What about people are pointing out Meatballs too, Casey?
Yeah, not that one. What about Guardians of the Galaxy? Boy. I like that one.
Well, he's abducted. But yeah, listen, I just...
Are you disqualifying my answer?
Well, I don't know.
Well,
maybe?
I'm saying what representation would be, you know, because usually they have human-like characteristics, and they kind of, you know, they
we are happy
it.
To be here.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
They speak with the British accent always. Yeah.
Right. Right.
On our planet. All right.
All right. Well,
let's go. You look like us. Like the day the Earth stood still, the original one.
Right. Well, anyhow, they're saying there's at least a few dozen active civilizations by the scientists in this formula that they've gone with. Hang on a second. Let me go to this call. Mike, I didn't see this movie. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
What's going on, guys?
Yeah, buddy. What'd you want to tell us?
There's a movie that came out last year. It's called Cosmos. Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime right now.
I almost watched that last night. I didn't really care for the trailer. You're saying it's worth a damn?
Oh, my God. It is so amazing. It really starts off slow, but then it builds, and it's like a roller coaster. There's these peaks, and then, like, you're like, all right, you're getting brought down again because they're doing more, like, character development. But then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, my God, what's going on here? But it takes place in one night, and
it's with the three astronomers, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. There are three, like, amateur astronomers. They work in those kinds of fields in their life, but they don't do that in their life. They're just kind of like amateur astronomers.
Right, right.
And man, it's pretty awesome, man. And there's two brothers that made this film, and they made it for like $4,000, and it took them 5 years. They did everything themselves except for the score. And the musical score is actually pretty amazing.
Huh.
But it took them so long to make this movie, and they're actually doing classes now on how to make movies like this for almost no
budget. I'll have to check it out.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks,
it's
man.
Like those guys that made the movie. Was it Signal or with the one with Lawrence Fishburne and the amateur? They're following this.
I don't know.
It was it's a cheap movie with incredible effects.
Huh.
And God, Nick,
Lawrence
if you could
Fishburne?
Look, Lawrence Fishburne's all in right. it. I think it's Signal or Signals or.
It came out a while ago?
Yeah, about 7, 8 years ago, 9 years ago.
And the one the guy just mentioned was called Cosmos, right?
Cosmos, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's free on Amazon Prime if you if you have Prime Video.
Was it Passengers, Steve?
No, Passengers is with Chris Pratt.
Signal, there it is.
The Signal.
Okay.
Ba-bam!
All right. We'll have to look
That's a super weird but interesting movie about it, alien encounters.
All right. Well, they're these scientists feel that they're putting it at about 36 or so other races per their formula. All right. These are just things from the Just Saying Institute. Thought it was time to expand the mind a little bit and to take a stroll above that beautiful campus. We're looking at a picture of the monorail.
Gorgeous.
The monorail is on there, but you're saying it's been decommissioned?
It's been decommissioned, but if you notice in the picture we're looking at, they clearly had just mulched.
Yes.
So that's spectacular.
Yeah. Beautiful.
By the way, it's located in beautiful Weston, West Virginia. There really is a Weston, West Virginia.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
Oh, of course, it's real.
It's a real place, and I'm happy to know that the town is real.
There really is a Paris in France.
All right, we are going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. I think we have some stuff to give away.
We do?
We might play a contest.
Yeah.
Give some goodies. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Black Keys. The Rolling Stones. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We're going to play a game.
Yay!
We're going to play a contest, and we're going to find out how well you know music in 8-bit form with a song called a game.
Name that song in 8 bits.
Name that song in 8 bits. 215-263-WMMR. It's real easy. We play the clip of the song from an 8-bit generator, or somebody had created it. And if you can identify it, then we will have a prize for you.
This is very relevant with all the gaming system news coming out. A lot of times the first times we heard songs like this were on gaming systems.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. All right, so 215-263-WMMR is the number. Let's get you on the line. We'll play you a clip, and we have a variety of prizes to give away today. And, Case, you got that list of prizes?
Yes, sir. We got a whole bunch of movie downloads. So we have digital downloads of Like a Boss. We have digital download of The Rhythm Section. We also have brand-new digital downloads of Trolls World Tour, as well as cases of Sly Fox Helles Golden Lager.
All right, 215-263-WMMR is the number, and pretty easy. If it might throw you off just a tad bit. If you spend some time hearing the melody, more than likely you're going to get it.
We figured for a Monday, if we could give some prize to John, it'd be a fun thing.
Good way to start the week. Okay. We're going to get our first one ready to go. We have Josh, who is on the line. Hey, Josh, how you doing?
Hello, sir, again.
Did you call earlier?
Yesterday. Remember? I messed up that other question.
Yesterday. We weren't on the air yesterday.
Or Friday.
Friday.
Okay, all right. We don't remember, but I trust you're telling the truth.
All right, we're going to give this a shot. We're going to play the clip for you. You tell us what song it is. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, Josh, the name of the game is...
Name that song in 8 bits.
Here it is. All right, Josh, what song is that?
I have no idea.
Oh, wow. It's actually being heard a lot these days on TV.
I thought we were starting off with a really, really easy one. So, no, I'm not going to play it for you again. That was enough. We gave you a lot there, Josh. Sorry, dude. You messed up again. Congratulations.
We'll remember this time, though.
Yeah, next time we'll remember. All right, let me go to Brian. Hey, Brian. Oh, Brian hung up. All right, let me go next to Joe. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, Preston?
Good, Joe. All right, you ready to hear the song?
Yep.
All right, name of the game is...
Name that song in 8 bits.
I want to play Street Fighter now.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, we need to know, what song is that?
I don't have it.
Oh! This was a gimme.
You call yourself an MMR listener. Oh, my goodness. All right, Joe, thanks anyway, buddy. All right, we'll go to one more. Let's go to Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Hey, do you need to hear that?
Yeah, play it one more time.
All right, here we go. Chris, tell us, what song is that?
I don't even have it either.
Oh, man. All right.
Wow.
We've expended it.
I thought that was the easiest one. Okay, we're going to a texter who knows the answer, and I'm going to go to Dominic. Hey, Dom.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Tell everybody what song that is.
Round and Round by Rat.
You are absolutely correct. All right, hang on a second, Dom. We're going to get your information. That one's pretty easy. I could have gotten that one.
Well,
no problem.
The Geico commercials airing constantly with this.
Yeah. And it's this part, this refrain over and over and over in the commercial. All right. What do we got for him, Case?
Well, I think we're going to hook him up with a case of beer. We have a case of Sly Fox Helles Golden Lager. This crowd-pleasing local favorite goes well with just about anything. Refined malt sweetness combined with gentle, noble hops. Sly Fox Helles is perfectly balanced and easy drinking. Outdoor dining is now available at all Sly Fox locations, and you can order your favorite bites and brews for pickup at slyfoxbeer.com.
Okay, let me see.
Am I going in order here, Press? Or
I don't know. I was just kind of bouncing around, Case. Just find something that you think is going to be...
Bounce around.
That's going to be
solid.
You know
what? Let's go ahead and do an easy one.
All right, let me go next to caller John. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, John, we are playing...
Name that song in 8 bits.
We've got a title for you. We got some music to play. You ready to try it?
Let's go.
All right, listen closely. Here we go. John, what's the title of that song?
First off, my basement's got a real rat problem, but that is All Star.
Yes, yeah. Smash Mouth, absolutely correct. Yeah. Hang on, because we got something for you. What we're going to set him up with?
We got a case of Sly Fox Helles Golden Lager. This crowd-pleasing local favorite goes well with just about anything. A refined malt sweetness combined with gentle, noble hops. Sly Fox Helles is perfectly balanced and easy drinking. Outdoor dining now available at all Sly Fox locations, and you can order your favorite bites and brews at slyfoxbeer.com.
I love how the 8-bit has a hard time handling the bassier parts of the song.
Right.
So you get the, oh, it sounds like a fart.
Also, going back to the rat and Geico commercial, I like the one where we have a clogging problem. Right. Have you seen that one, too?
Yeah,
the dancers, they do such great spots. All right, we'll go next. To Clint, I believe. Hey, Clint.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, buddy. All right, we're playing a game.
Name that song in 8 bits.
And we've got one ready for you. You ready?
Let's do it.
Listen closely. Here we go. Clint, you want to take a guess?
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Beautiful! Yeah! Well done, sir. Case, what does the man win?
Well, everybody seems to want beer, so I'm going to hook you up. You got the Sly Fox Helles Golden Lager, and you can pick that up at Sly Fox. It is perfectly balanced and easy drinking. Outdoor dining is now available at all Sly Fox locations, and you can also order your favorite bites and brews for pickup at SlyFoxBeer.com.
I'm going to go a little further into that because I want to hear the chorus. Man. All right. Nice job. We are moving on to another caller, and that is going to be Kristen. Hello there, Kristen.
Hello. Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? All right, Kristen, we're playing the game.
Name that song in 8 bits.
We have a song for you. You all set?
I'm ready.
All right. Listen closely. Here is your tune. Keyboard riffs in the background. Kristen, what song is that?
Okay, just want to let you guys know that I have a secret hidden talent, and it's finding things out in 8 bits.
Okay.
And, I'm kidding. The song is Money.
Yes, it's Money.
No, you absolutely do.
Nice work, Kristen. Hang on. I think we got some more Sly Fox beer to give
away. We do. We got Sly Fox Helles Golden Lager, and Sly Fox Helles is perfectly balanced and easy drinking. Outdoor dining is now available at all Sly Fox locations, and you can order your favorite bites and brews for pickup at SlyFoxBeer.com.
All right, we will go to our next caller, and it is Brittany. Hello there, Brittany.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Brittany. We're playing
Name That Song in 8 Bits.
Easy game so far. Lots of winners, and we're going to play a song for you. You ready to go?
Yes, I'm nervous, and I hope I know this one.
All right, let's try. We're going to do that one, Case?
Well, yeah.
Okay, here we go. Brittany, what song is that?
I actually don't know. Probably a little bit fuzzy.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. We'll try somebody else on that.
Name that song in 8 bits.
Calvin.
Hey, man. It's been in the Hoot 40-some years now. Just a little accident. That's all.
Of
course, man. Just a little accident.
All right, Calvin. Do you need to hear more of that song, or do you think you know what it is?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. You want to hear it again?
Yeah, let me hear it again.
All right, here we go.
I got it.
All right, what's the song?
It's Emmett Otter's Jug Band.
Oh, Brothers! Close. I'm sorry. That's incorrect.
I'd like to hear some Emmett Otter in 8-bit.
We will go next to Kyle and let him take a try. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
No, it's all right. We're just playing.
Name that song in 8 bits.
Kyle, do you need to hear it again?
Nah, I think I know what it is.
What is it?
It's Mom, I'm Coming Home by Ozzy Osbourne.
You're damn right it is. Absolutely correct. Hope you're thirsty, because we're going to set you up with some Sly Fox beer. Case of it, right, Case?
Yeah, it's the final case we actually have. So it's a Sly Fox Helles Golden Lager. And where am I going to read this from? Sly Fox's Helles is perfectly balanced and easy drinking. Outdoor dining is now available at all Sly Fox locations, and you can order your favorite bison brews for pickup at slyfoxbeer.com.
That's our last case of beer?
That's our last case of beer. We have tons of movies to give away, though.
Okay. We moved a lot of beer. All right. We got some good movies.
Let's move on to a caller, and I think we're going to go to... Let's see here. Is it? We'll go to Todd. He's been on hold the longest. Hey, Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
All right, good. So we're going to get a new one ready for you. And Case, you got it ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Listen closely. I know the answer to this, and this doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, me too.
Hang on.
That's not the song.
No, we're going to do a different one.
Yeah, that's actually not Uprising by Muse. That's a different Muse song. But anyway, let's do this one. Should be easier.
We're great. We got a better one for you. We're still playing the game.
Name that song in 8 bits.
Here we go, Todd. You ready?
Yeah.
Right, here we go. Should be enough. Todd, do you know the song?
I think it's one of those rare songs, like Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana.
A very rare song indeed, yes. Yeah, hang on the line. We're going to set you up in this case.
Actually, we got a digital download of the next great action spy thriller, The Rhythm Section, from the producers of James Bond and starring Blake Lively and Jude Law. It's available now on digital and Blu-ray, rated R, from Paramount Pictures.
All right, we got time for a couple more here. Yep. We'll go to George. Hey, George.
Hey, guys, I love my wife, Camden, and my little boy, Camden.
Oh, well, all right. Way to go, bud. All right, we're going to play a game. We're playing...
Name that song in 8 bits.
And we're dusting off an oldie. You ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Here we go.
Oh, Kenny Rogers.
All right, what's the title?
Gambler.
The Gambler? Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Hang on.
That's an oldie. I'm going to let this play a little bit while he's on hold. There's more the verse. Story goes on for a while before it gets to the chorus. All right, what are we going to give George?
George, we got a digital download of Trolls World Tour. Now, Trolls World Tour is now yours to own. It includes the movie plus an exclusive dance party edition with an original short, Tiny Diamond Goes Back to School. Own the Pitch Perfect Family film on digital and on Blu-ray and DVD July 7th. You can click on contests at WMMR.com to check out a very cool Trolls World Tour activity kit with games, recipes, and more.
Let's do two more.
Two more.
All right, two more and we're done. I will go to, let's go to Mike A. There's a couple of mics on the line. Mike A, how you doing, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing? Sorry to bother you at work, bitches.
Nope. We're playing a game, bitch.
Name that song in 8 bits.
And here is your song. Listen closely, Mike.
Thank you.
Mike, what do you think?
Green Day, American Idiot.
Yes! Well done, sir. Hang on, you idiot. Here's what we got for you.
All right, we got a digital download of the next great action spy thriller, The Rhythm Section, from the producers of James Bond and starring Blake Lively and Jude Law, available now on digital and Blu-ray, rated R, from Paramount Pictures.
All right. These songs remind me of TikTok. Like, I feel like they should be TikTok videos.
Oh,
like,
Do they use a lot of 8-bit stuff on TikTok?
I don't know, but it, for whatever reason, like, I must have seen it because I don't know. It's just, like, triggering TikTok in my mind.
Right, right.
I'm immediately thinking video games. I'm thinking Sega and Nintendo games.
Well,
right back to. All right, we'll go to Blake. Hi, Blake.
Hey, guys. I got this spot that goes right back to, my bunghole.
Nice LBJ impression.
It's funny because I thought he was trying to do part of his Rocky impersonation.
Which, no, here's a very good. All right, so.
If you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper ends, round under my, back to my bunghole.
All right, so, Blake, we got one queued up and ready to go. You set?
I think so. I knew most of the other ones, so I'm hoping I get lucky.
It's your turn at...
Name that song in 8 bits.
Here we go.
I think I know it.
What is it, sir? What is it?
Foo Fighters on the Fly?
Yes, absolutely correct. Nice job. Hang on a second. I love this song.
Great song.
Even this version of it sounds great. All right, Case, what are we going
to
give him?
We got a digital download of Like a Boss, This Beauty Business is About to Get Ugly, as Tiffany Haddish and Rose Byrne duke it out with Salma Hayek, available on digital and Blu-ray, rated R, from Paramount Pictures.
So, a quick question. When we're playing these versions like this, does it show up on dashboards?
I have been told that it does.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. But fortunately, we have a delay, so they're not going to be able to cheat while we have them on the phone. Now, if you're in second or third in line, you might actually get the answer, but... Yeah, it does show up. It does register, from what I understand. All right, well, listen, thank you for playing.
Name that song in 8 bits.
I just like hearing that stuff. I think it sounds awesome. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Some bizarre file stories await. We shall return shortly. Don't go anywhere.
Now that we're actually leaving the house more often, WMMR reminds you, you're going to have to put on some clothes. And if you gotta get dressed, why not step up your wardrobe game with the coolest threads from the MMR Rock Shop? There's tons of new and throwback MMR designs to choose from that you can't get anywhere else. Look, you can't go out there naked, okay? Seriously, no. So shop the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. All the merch that rocks. And don't forget your pants.
All right, some stories from the weekend in the Bizarre File. Let's get to them.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Yeah! All right, we'll start with this one. Authorities released the cause of a 21-year-old man's death in a Santa Cruz County jail cell hours before a demonstration seeking answers about the incident was scheduled to begin. Tamario Smith, who was 21 years old, died in a Santa Cruz County jail cell Monday 10th, an autopsy determined his death was caused by overconsumption of water.
Oh, wow.
You hear about this every now and then.
Yeah. It is absolutely possible.
Pathologists determined Mr. Smith's cause of death to be acute water intoxication due to the overconsumption of water in a short period of time, the sheriff's office stated. I said the overconsumption of water was influenced by Mr. Smith's underlying mental health issues. This water consumption led to an electrolyte imbalance, which caused Mr. Smith's organs to fail, leading to Mr. Smith's death. The autopsy found no evidence of trauma, foul play, COVID-19, or any sign that Smith had ingested any kind of a toxic substance. I remember the first time I heard of this was a radio contest.
Yes.
And it was a who could drink, you know, the most water in the shortest amount of time or something along the lines.
There's a woman that died, right?
A woman died, and, like, immediately the edict went out, no more of these...
Yeah.
Over-the-top contests of how much, you know...
How much can you hold your urine or whatever, all that
things
stuff.
Things like that. So,
Well, when I passed out here in the studio and they took me over to Lankenau, the doctor told me I was drinking too much water.
Oh, really?
It was flushing potassium out of my system.
Yeah. So you can overdo it. Smith did not share a cell with another inmate, and his death was ruled an accident. He was found unresponsive. Officers attempted life-saving measures and called paramedics before he was pronounced dead at the jail.
Steve, I think you're still allowed to have a contest where you pee into a diaper. I think you're still allowed to do that.
I think that's in the Constitution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have a peeing in a diaper story for you later.
Oh, my God.
I want to hear that.
Between this and tossing salad, Kathy's two for two today.
What a day. Video, this was probably the coolest thing I saw all weekend, and no reports of anybody getting hurt, so that's good. Video shows a silver minivan speeding down eastbound 91 freeway and throwing off tons of sparks on Friday night. And when the eyewitness driver who was filming this catches up to the minivan, he couldn't believe what he saw. It was a motorcycle stuck to the front of the silver minivan. I know you've seen it, Steve. Have you guys seen this video?
No. Please put it up. Your jaw will drop.
All right.
How?
I don't know. And the eyewitness captured it all as the minivan then started to exit the freeway. The eyewitness said that he was so concerned, he exited at the first opportunity and circled back around. And he found that the motorcycle was on the side of the road along with the front bumper of the minivan. A few moments later, that eyewitness spotted the minivan dumped just off the road next to a tree. We're looking at, look up on the monitors, God. Kathy. Look at this. There's nobody on this motorcycle. The rear end of it, it's sitting upright, which is bizarre. The rear end of it seems to be embedded in the van or underneath it or somehow or another. It's crazy.
Why does the guy keep driving?
He obviously did something.
Okay.
You know, because they found the van abandoned later on. There's no sign of the driver who had apparently taken off, and no word from the police as to what might have happened.
The assumption is he rear-ended somebody on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
This doesn't look real. Going.
I know it doesn't. I've never seen anything quite like it. But
nobody has come out and said that they were hurt or injured.
From what I've seen, I saw no reports of injury. They didn't find the guy who was driving. They found the motorcycle and the van, and that's all we know so far. But I'll look for a follow-up.
Now, there was a time, Preston, where you had a motorcycle helmet.
Okay. Yes. Got wedged underneath the van. That
was cool.
And I couldn't get it out of there. And I had to drive all the way home and the thing scraping like that underneath. I brought it in for you guys to see.
It was filed down
halfway,
and you got to see what's in a motorcycle helmet.
Yep.
But it was clean. It was almost like you'd polished it.
Almost like a laser had taken and sliced it.
It was wild.
And I had to get like a sledgehammer and bash it the other direction to get it out of there.
That's like when you're going, why me?
Exactly. A university student in Malaysia who went out on a limb to ensure that she had a good internet connection to sit her exams online has impressed many with her resourcefulness. 18-year-old Vivona Mizibin lives in a remote part of the eastern state of Sabah where broadband services are limited. So there's no electricity or running water in her house.
Wow.
And she had said that she charges her cell phone at the houses of relatives and neighbors who do have electricity. So she had prepared for her test 2 weeks previously by building a small shelter on a hill where 3G reception for the area is good. On the day of the exam, however, she found that the hut had blown down. So she decided the next best place to ensure a strong connection was in a tree. So she climbed up in this tree.
Man.
And she's also an aspiring YouTuber, and she filmed her experience. She posted it on a channel that she set up in May, which features a handful of other videos of lives on her family's farm. Armed with a mosquito net, a power bank, and meals of rice wrapped in leaves, Ms. Mozabin completed her exams uneventfully, save for the intrusion of a hornet during the meal. But her escapade, which has been viewed and shared hundreds of thousands of times since she posted it this week, has earned her the admiration of many others. But that's what she had to do.
And that's how important education is for her.
Exactly.
That's pretty remarkable.
Yep. Well, this is in Oakmont, Pennsylvania. A nursing home had been evacuated, and there were several ambulances on the scene Thursday afternoon after a drain cleaner in a sink had a reaction and started fuming. Officials said maintenance employees poured a drain cleaner into a clogged slop sink, which had a reaction and started fuming.
You ever heard of a slop sink?
You ever heard of a slop sink?
I think we should all have a slop sink.
That's mainly why I kept this story in here, is a slop sink. And it started,
oh, it's in the slop sink.
They poured some kind of drain cleaner, and it got a reaction until it could be termed what it was. The faculty chose to evacuate the residents out. There were no reported injuries.
Oh, gee, there's been a backup in our slop sink.
Officials said there were no unusual meter readings, and they are cleaning it up.
That's one thing you never hear on Downton Abbey. Yeah. There's a little bit of a mess in the slop sink.
And ventilating it. Emergency services implemented its mass casualty incident protocol to assist with the evacuations of 76 residents and care for them while evacuated. I will do one last story and then wrap it up. Let's see if I got a short one here. We will end with this one. A woman and her husband in Northeast Maryland found a live World War One bomb while digging in a flower bed.
The hell was it doing in Maryland?
Exactly. After
that's where the fighting got thick.
The startling discovery.
World War One. You remember the trench warfare?
No, I don't.
Just outside of Baltimore.
All right.
Kelly and Shannon Thomas left the round where they found it and called the sheriff's office. And they said after examining the device, it was determined that the best course of action was to conduct an emergency disposal to render the ordnance safe. And a bomb technician disposed of the potentially dangerous round on the scene.
My dearest wife, I am here in Maryland fighting trench warfare. I hope to return to you one day.
The unexploded military ordnance, determined to be a 37 MKI projectile, made its way to the Thomas's flower bed from the Aberdeen Proving Ground on the Chesapeake Bay 10 miles away.
All right.
I don't know what the Aberdeen Proving Ground is.
So Marissa and I were familiar with it because it's across the bay from Taqua Camp, and you would hear the detonations and the ordnances going off. They would test all sorts of rounds at Aberdeen, and the way the sound carries and the way that, you know, it would rattle the cabin. Okay.
Now it makes sense.
Taqua, yeah.
Because they were bringing munitions to be sent over to the war.
I guess they were doing it for a long time in that location.
I suppose so, yeah.
Unexploded military ordnance in the bay and surrounding waters occasionally makes its way to the surface, they said. However, the discovery of military ordnance is not limited to tidal waters. Wow. Okay. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you at this point in time. When we get back, we'll have the lesson question, trash, music news, also free Music Monday along with music news. So a couple chances for you to win some things. We'll be back in just a sec. Stay there.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to do today's lesson question, and we're going to give away a $50 Meineke gift card for the location in the Mayfair section of Northeast Philly. And the question that we're going to go with this morning, what do aliens' buttholes smell like? 215-263-WMMR. And for fun, if you want to tell us what comes out, you can do that too. But what do aliens' buttholes smell like? 215-263-WMMR. It was said earlier this morning, we're going to do the trash while we await your answer.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
It's brought to you this morning by Sequoia Outback. Whether you're looking to build a new deck or freshen up the patio with new furniture, the Sequoia Outback has everything you need to create the backyard oasis. Route 309 in Hatfield or online at decksupplies.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Joel Madden wished his father-in-law, Lionel Richie, a happy 71st birthday on Saturday with an online tribute. Richie was so touched, he told Madden it almost made him forget that he routinely violates his daughter. Courtney Stodden posting a video on Instagram of her driving by the Tulsa Trump rally over the weekend and yelling Black Lives Matter. A spokesman for Black Lives Matter responded to Stodden's gesture by issuing a statement saying, that's okay.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And finally, Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick deciding to leave Manhattan for their home in Sag Harbor. Apparently, the pandemic has forced Parker to step up her training for the Preakness. That's your Hollywood trip.
All right, we'll see if you know the answer to this. What do aliens' buttholes smell like? 215-263-WMMR, the number, and we're going to Bill. Good morning, Bill.
Oh, thinking about clams.
Stop thinking of clams. What do aliens' buttholes smell like?
Lilac.
Lilac. Hang on, Bill. We're going to give you a $50 Meineke gift card for the location of the Mayfair section in Northeast Philly, and they are offering 25% off to any customer who has had their catalytic converter stolen or cut off their vehicle. They helped out local favorite Nick's Roast Beef during the pandemic, and they want to make the same offer to all the Philadelphians. Meineke and Mayfair want you to know they're here for you during a rough time, and they will help in any way they can. That's Meineke at 6140 Frankford Avenue.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
You know what I love? Meat.
All right, meat. We're going to start with this particular collaboration. Dave Grohl, Ozzy Osbourne, Trent Reznor, Robert Plant, and many more are among 600 artists who have written an open letter to Congress urging them to help save more than 1,000 independent music venues in the United States facing permanent closure due to the coronavirus pandemic. The National Independent Venue Association, the NIVA, posted the letter on Thursday. Other signatures on the list include Billie Eilish, Coldplay, Shinedown, Neil Young, Billy Joel, Lady Gaga, Alter Bridge, Hailstorm, Ministry, Alice Cooper, David Crosby. It goes on and on.
Yeah, yeah.
An excerpt from the letter said, "We are asking you to support NIVA's request for assistance so these beloved venues can reopen when it's safe and welcome us and our fans back in. The collapse of this crucial element in the music industry's ecosystem would be devastating." The letter said, "Independent venues give artists their start, often as the first stage most of us have played on. These venues were the first to close and will be the last to open. If the shutdown lasts 6 months and there's no federal assistance, they will never reopen again."
So remove even just that fact, Preston. Venues for the artists to play, the people that work there, the people that work in the vending, the T-shirt people, the people, all, and businesses that are around these venues that count on them.
Yeah. Earlier in the month, NIVA conducted a survey which found that nearly all of independent music venues may be forced to close their doors for good due to the pandemic. The Senate has shown no appetite for further federal assistance of any kind, despite the continued impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Hailstorm singer Lizzie Hale spoke to Offstage about her band's insistence on performing completely live without the aid of backing tracks. Hale said, "We do it more selfishly, not necessarily as a statement, but it has kind of become this interesting statement." She said, "I'm not a fan of when I find out my favorite bands do that. I'm not knocking anybody else who does it. You do you. But for us, that's just not our MO," she said.
How predominant is it? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I've seen bands do it, heard them, I should say, but I don't know what the percentage of bands who do it are.
I don't see it as a like a betrayal. No. You know, I mean, if it helps the sound, but I can understand what she's saying.
Yeah. She added also, if...
I mean, you know, one of the best shows I ever saw was a Milli Vanilli concert. Those guys, they brought it raw.
Also, if we weren't actually playing, we would just get worse as musicians. We've been to shows where somebody's computer went down, the tracks are no longer there, and then they don't play anymore, and we're like, can't you just plug in the instruments? In recent years, more and more bands have been given a pass for using backing tracks, drum triggers, and other sort of technology that makes concerts more synthetic, but also more consistent. So a lot of times, like backup vocals and things like that, just give it a big, fuller sound, and sometimes, you know, keyboard assistance just to give it a fatter presence. They'll do that type of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Alice in Chains guitarist and singer Jerry Cantrell will be the subject of a long-form interview in the next episode of Gibson TV's Icon series. Cantrell will sit down to discuss his love of songwriting, the formation of Alice in Chains, as well as his 30 years plus in music. The Cantrell episode of the new Icon series, which features some of the most acclaimed artists, producers, and music business pioneers working today, will be released in July. Earlier this year, Jerry returned to the studio to continue working on a new solo album. Well, Kurt Cobain's guitar from Nirvana's iconic MTV Unplugged performance sold at auction Saturday for a record $6 million.
Wow. $6 million.
That used to be what it cost to make a Bionic Man.
I know.
The previous record was $3.95 million for a black Stratocaster owned by David Gilmour of Pink Floyd. Pre-auction bids on the 1959 Martin D18E, reached $1 million even before bidding officially opened Saturday at Julianne's Auctions in Beverly Hills. The guitar, which had been modified for the left-handed Cobain, received 7 bids total, including the winning one. The guitar also came with its original hard shell case a half-used pack of Martin guitar strings, three picks, and a suede stash bag.
And Cobain's coffin, right?
Decorated with a small silver spoon, fork, and knife. The winner of the guitar was Peter Friedman, who told Spin after the auction that he intended to tour the guitar around the world to, quote, lobby governments to start proper funding for mental health, medical, wages lost.
Oh, that's good.
All the stuff that's gone. He said, this is my life. This is my industry. We're going to raise awareness and raise money.
All right, well, that's being used for a good cause. I mean, we asked this question before, and I forget what your answer was. The most iconic guitar of all time.
Yeah, we talked about, like, Frankenstein.
Yeah, from, Van Halen's.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's a few of them out there. Other Nirvana MTV Unplugged performance items included in the same auction lot included Kurt Kirkwood's handwritten lyric sheet for the Meat Puppets' Oh Me, typed out lyrics of David Bowie's The Man Who Sold the World, and a letter to Cobain from Nirvana's management company dated 9 days before the Unplugged performance, outlining potential songs for the gig. And then one last thing. After his 1992 debut LP, returned to the Billboard and iTunes charts last week, Rage Against the Machine's music has seen a 62% spike in streaming in the past 7 days. The group's music was streamed over 11 million times in the last week, with the song Killing in the Name accounting for 2.4 million of those streams alone. That put the song at number 3 on Billboard's Hard Rock Digital Songs chart. Another tune, Bulls on Parade, has been streamed 1.4 million times in the same period. Some of the surge could be attributed to a Twitter fight between Rage's Tom Morello and a fan who questioned the band's politics. The tweet went viral, garnering more than 150,000 interactions. And several other artists, including NWA, Kendrick Lamar, and Beyonce, have also experienced spikes in streaming as nationwide protests rage on. So they are seeing an uptick in performance. And that is what I have in music news. But one more thing, Free Music Monday.
Yay!
I have a digital download of Self-Made Man, the new album from Larkin Poe, featuring the single Holy Ghost Fire, and that's out from Tricky Woo Records. We'll take caller number 18 at 215-263-WMMR. Tricky Woo Records, caller number 18, 215-263-WMMR.
I didn't get one reference you just made right then. Like none of those names made anything to me.
Larkin Poe?
Yeah.
You know Larkin Poe, he's on Tricky Woo.
And the thing that we were giving away. I wish I that's on me. I need to educate myself.
Go educate yourself while we take a break. We'll be back in a moment, and we'll get the letter of the day for the word of the week when we return.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bikeathon.
Hey, it's Marcus. Cancer won't stop and neither will we. Join myself and Team WMMR on Sunday, August 9th for the 48th annual ACS Bikeathon. This year we're going virtual. The pedal power to finish the ride against cancer may look different, but the mission remains the same. Each Team WMMR rider gets a free team t-shirt, registration and complete details at WMMR.com, and check out our custom Team WMMR apparel providers, Bolay and Go Cycling. Team WMMR and the ACS Bikeathon, virtually unstoppable.
The ACS Bikeathon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
Chalking this one up and moving on as we, is it Friday yet? As we head towards the weekend.
I think what we did here today is what radio was meant to be.
That's what it was meant to be?
I think it's the full realization of Marconi's dreams so long ago. Don't you agree, Preston?
I think he can finally rest easy now, knowing that it's been accomplished.
It's happened.
It is achieved.
What he had hoped for was accomplished today.
I found the origins of Tricky Woo.
Oh, do tell.
Do you ever read the book All Creatures Great and Small by James Herriot? He was a veterinarian, I believe.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, it's a great book. Anyway, there's a dog in that book. In one of the chapters that he writes about, and the name of that dog is Tricky Woo.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It's a literary nod for this record company to be called Tricky Woo. I had no idea.
You learn stuff.
That must mean they read books.
I would normally thank guests, but we didn't have any guests on today, so thank you for being a part of our contests and conversations.
They would have been dead weight on this show, this runaway train of entertainment.
You appreciate it. So we just need to get our letter of the day. We have a new Word of the Week prize, and the man who brings us said letter is coming into the studio.
Fresh out of the shower.
Very moment. He does look a little wet.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Hold on. I got to turn your mic on. Sorry
I just put hand sanitizer on my hand, and then I pushed my hair back.
Yep.
Now I've got
okay, Fonzie.
In my hair.
Hey.
All right. Yeah.
It'll dry. That stuff dries off quick.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And now your scalp is protected.
And my hair was so unsanitized.
Mm.
So
you got him.
You know how it is, hon.
So tell us about your weekend.
So I went last night downtown and had my first dinner out.
Right. I had mine on Friday.
Did you? Okay.
Yes. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Where'd you go?
I went, it's God, I keep forgetting.
Spaghetti-ways.
Yes, yeah. Which is in Conshohocken. It's awesome.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
I met some friends at Park, one of the Steven Starr restaurants. And on Rittenhouse Square on 18th Street, Rouge and some of the restaurants there in Park is right on the corner of 18th and Locust. And they've got all the tables 6 feet apart, and they separate them. But they actually have gone out into the street a little bit. And I guess the city's given them permission to do that. Cars can still get by, but they've gone a touch out into the street. The tables are all apart from each other. The servers are all wearing masks and gloves, and it's open air. And it was lovely.
It's a sense of normalcy that we've been waiting for. And also, you know, to get the meal hot from the restaurant instead of bringing it home.
Yeah, it was absolutely wild. And then my friends were going home, and I walked down Walnut Street to Broad and it looked at some of the closed-up buildings, which was very bizarre, but then kept going, and some taverns were open doing that booze-to-go thing.
Right. Yeah.
And so I don't know where I stopped.
Grab a drink?
I grabbed a margarita to go.
Yeah.
And they give
feel
it
like
to
you're in New Orleans walking around in the middle of the street, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love New Orleans for that very reason. You can walk in booze.
Yeah.
And they gave it to you in this plastic thing that you would get Chinese soup to go in.
Yeah.
You know, this big container with a straw.
Would you like a quart of cocktail?
It was a quart.
Yeah.
It was a quart of booze. And I'm going, by the time I got back to Rittenhouse Square, I was weaving a little bit. So I sat down and shared it with some guy named Henry. No, I didn't really. But,
well, good.
That's awful good.
Looks good. Could I have some?
One way to slow down the pandemic is sharing drinks with strangers.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. And I'm also was scouting locations for where I might live on the street in another few years.
Yeah, that's good.
So you've got to keep things in mind.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome that you're able to get out and do that. I'm sure it felt great. Nice. All right, well, let's get our letter if you don't mind.
Okay.
Right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
Y, as in you know my name.
Yes, you do. Loved playing that today. We have a package of 20 digital movies, including Birds of Prey, Gone in 60 Seconds, Just Mercy, The Rhythm Section, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, and more. For a complete list, just click on contest at WMMR.com. We will give that away on Friday. Musically, what's going on today, ma'am?
Thank you for playing that, by the way.
Oh, no problem. I loved it, man.
It's one of the wildest things ever. We're going to get into a workforce block of Todd Rundgren for his birthday today from Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. Got Led Zeppelin, got the Killers. Brandon Flowers of the band had a birthday yesterday. And we've got this cool version of Brandon singing Tom Petty. Really cool version of it. So we'll throw that into the workforce block as well.
I want to point out the reason we had You Know My Name played today. I didn't know this. Casey just told me a few minutes ago. It's his daughter Avery's 11th birthday today. So the first series of songs, which I guess is it five?
Five, yeah.
First five songs all spelled out her name with the title of the songs.
Wait a minute.
So he played All on the Watchtower, Vertigo.
11-11.
Rico Suave. World, and then You Know My Name. And it spells out Avery.
You did that purposely?
Yes, I did.
That's nice.
And Chuck was super happy about it.
That's very, very cool.
Chuck's like, why don't we even come to work?
You didn't tell him?
I told him I was going to do it yesterday.
Chuck helps program the music.
I salute that. I love it when you guys do each of your own favorite songs during shows.
Bill Weston loves that.
I understand that he does, which
God,
is why
he hated that.
He made us stop.
I played a deep Journey cut, and he was just like, forget it.
I like knowing what you, I mean, this is basically a talk show, but every one of you enjoys music and, you know, and talks a lot about, you always talk a lot about music and bands that you love. So yeah. I'd like to see that come back again someday.
Maybe we'll get to it.
All right.
We'll see. All right, I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, and Meineke, doing car care right. On our program tomorrow, we have some guests. We have some guests we were already supposed to have on, and they've had to move things back. So, Josh Holloway, who used to be on Lost and is on the show Yellowstone, which just had Kevin Costner on last week.
Right.
He's going to be joining us. And Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas together, married for a long time, and their book is about marriage that they're going to be talking about.
It's actually very insightful.
So it'll be those things and more. That is it. We are done. Rage on and have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Jim Gardner is a fucking legend, and Dorothy Gardner is a saint. Watch your fucking mouth.
Next message.
This is a big shout-out to Preston, the captain of the ship, when said, I fart when I think of my wife. I almost lost it. You're the best.
Next message.
A shithead screaming his fucking lungs off at me on 95. There's only three lanes. Just because you didn't pass third grade doesn't mean you shouldn't know how to count. You run up that shoulder again and almost hit me, I will in your.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell it for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.